There can be no other 97.3. No need to change. Keep it tuned to City. You're number one. Don't look no further. We've got it all covered. City FM.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, my neighbor.
Good morning to life.
Good morning.
Music. Talk. Inspiration. In perspective.
Express yourself.
Good morning, my neighbor.
City FM, your station.
It's a refreshing lifestyle.
City FM.
97.3.
Hey. Unleashing the power of radio.
This is City 97.3.
That calms the seas and tames the storm. Ah, I know a name, I know a name.
City 97.3.
That changes lives and destinies. The wind obey and demons flee. When that name is lifted high. We have come in the name of
Jesus,
in the mighty name of
Jesus.
Heaven listens to
Jesus
when we call on Jesus. Hey, say upon O Chiriwa, and the Chinese, the Dianachi.
hay pitié. Enseñó piñe piñe.
Diana Hamilton, 27 minutes past the hour. The name of Jesus. We mention it with confidence. It's a symbol of authority. Thank you for staying with us. 25th day of April, 97.3 CDFM. It's such a great opportunity to use the power of sound to make a difference. The first thing God did, He said, your voice is a powerful tool for transformation. Speak to yourself to encourage your mind and your own emotions. Speak to others to get along with you. Speak to situations to respond to you. If we mention it in faith, it accomplishes a lot. So what are you saying? God gives you a mouth to help you to reshape your future. It says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. And if you can say to this mountain, it means mountains have ears, situations have ears. Don't be silent. Don't allow situations to intimidate you. Use the power of sound to make a difference. What a song. What a great upliftment. Use the power of sound to transform your environment. My God. Oh, yes. That's how we do it on the show. The power of radio. Resilient medium. Many people predicted radio was going to die because of podcasts and all kinds of things. But hey, radio is here. It's here to stay because people will continue talking. It's a basic means of communication. And it gives the power of focus because when you watch television, your emotions are divided, right? You're watching, you're listening at the same time. But radio is all about sound. So it's a more intimate medium. And you can do many things whilst you're doing radio. You can be cooking, you can be driving. You can't be driving and watching television. So it engages you in a way that's powerful, which is why we deploy it to bring transformation. It's not just a medium to make noise. It's also a platform to bring minds together, to bring ideas and thoughts and plans into fruition, to concentrate our forces as well-meaning Ghanaians to bring change into our society, whether it's through the utility discussion, corruption discussion, the economy, or simply reflecting on who we are as Ghanaians. It's a powerful, powerful tool. Thank you for being part of our journey. 97.3 CDFM. We start the show with the newspaper review segment. Then we jump into the business news at 7. Sports at 7:15. So much to talk about this morning. SML contract, KPMG report, NDC's running mate outdoors with some uppercuts and jabs. All of that on the show this morning. Oh, let's talk together. 054-998-6996. It's our WhatsApp number. In the meantime, Business Sense brought to you by ADB. Offering a variety of personal loans, including top-ups at highly reduced interest rates. They give you longer tenors of up to 6 years and offer open to non-customers as well. Call ADB on 0302-210-210. ADB, the People's Bank. ADB, truly Agric and more.
Join the conversation on the City Breakfast Show on Facebook at facebook.com/city973, Twitter at twitter.com/city973, and Instagram at instagram.com/city973 with the hashtag CityCBS.
Unleashing the power of relevant radio. This is City 97.3.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
let's get it on. We took a bow and made a stand. Started swaying with the hand. Sudden motion made me skip. Now we're into a brand new trip.
What's called? A song that describes so elaborately kung fu fighting.
Yeah.
Those kids were fast as lightning.
In fact, it was a little bit frightening.
Yes, indeed, that's how we choose to start the newspaper review segment. Brought to you by Total Energies. We give you Total Energy for your engine. A breakthrough innovation ensures optimal performance for your engine. Improves protection against mechanical wear by up to 74%. Choose quartz from Total Energies today. Choose the engine oil that keeps your engine running efficiently and effectively. And Fidelity Bank is partnering the Pan-African Payment and Settlement System, the PAPS, to help you send money across the continent to loved ones, whether in Nigeria or the Gambia, Liberia, Guinea or Sierra Leone. Whether it's for business or pleasure, PAPS is here, and Fidelity Bank makes sending money through this system easy. Everybody loves kung fu fighting, and I think yesterday the running mate of the NDC came out fighting with some very, very heavy punches.
Absolutely.
Like, a great program, I should say. A great, great event indeed. And so now all eyes are on other people. Who are you also choosing? What are you going to do? It's going to get interesting indeed.
Yeah. Well, one punch she gave, she says,
ethnocentric elitism masquerading as intellectualism. Charlie, bluff up. Yeah, somebody asked me, hey, Charlie, not if you're, well, the people understand. I said, well, she's speaking. Delivering English.
I'm sure she has found her audience.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, I mean,
giving punches. Yeah. So the Chronicle says what?
The Chronicle, from one woman, they are pushing for another woman.
So, Sky, what's going on? Yesterday, it was about Frema in the newspapers. Yes. Today, they've come back to Natosh.
Brutal, because Frema went to Ashanti Regis to go and see the overlord there.
So what has Natoshi to do that?
So the Great Accra Women Organizer...
Natoshi.
Yes. So Great Accra MPP Women Organizers besiege Baumia. Hey. Please, Wakpao Bufai, pick Natoshi as your running mate.
So it looks like this woman thing is gaining
ground. Oh, in that deal. The lobbying.
It's gone from like back room lobbying
to front page.
Now they're challenging.
It's the front page.
Now they're.
So Natoshi is meeting Great Accra Women.
Yeah, they are beseeching Baumia
to pick Natoshi.
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, Baumia is in the Vatican waiting for the white smoke.
No, that smoke is different.
No, they are in conclave with the Pope. They are trying to determine who will be the running mate. So when you see the white smoke from Buckingham, it means they have settled on somebody.
I don't know how. You know, because when the white smoke comes,
when they're looking for the Pope,
they say Habemus.
There was a guy called Cardinal Tetemanzi. Mm-hmm. He was looking for the thing, but the smoke didn't come.
Habemus.
So that's when they moved to Rasbega.
So Habemus.
So this one, we are waiting for the smoke. No busy. Chronicle is also talking about other things.
Yeah, we have achieved high level of accountability. This is according to the Minister for Public Enterprises, the Honorable Joseph Kujo.
Uh-huh.
And then also the Vatican gladly welcomes Baumia.
Okay.
The Daily Graphic says KPMG audit finds tax revenue increase. SML cleared to continue work, and the president has his picture on the front page.
But I thought the president said they should renegotiate the contract.
Well, there are aspects of it that
it seems a bit interesting.
Yeah,
right.
Anyway, it's just a headline, so you have to go into the details.
Yes,
right?
The biggest one from yesterday, in my opinion, my choice is belief in Ghanaian women, Prof. Opoku Ajiman. Traders laud free SHS policy for bridging education inequality gap, and salaries of first and second ladies unconstitutional. Supreme Court rules. And on the back page of the Daily Graphic, more children not receiving full vaccination against killer diseases. That's a very worrying one.
Let me take you to the Ghanaian Times. This story that I was so alarmed about yesterday. Great news coming in. Outcome of Ghanaian Times expose: dismissed pregnant student back in school following GES directive. That's a good one. Also, resident persons risk prosecution for failure to disclose incomes. That's coming in from the GRA. It looks like Madam Julia Siam is really on a warpath. And then also, Mahama touts credentials of Professor Opoku Ajiman, and President inaugurates second phase of 15
megawatts
Kaleo Solar power plant project. Oh, this is a lot.
The arbitration is heavy. If you go to the Daily Guide, Baumia meets Pope Francis in historic Vatican visit. President orders SML contract renegotiation. Latif Abubakar, Italian embassy partner for the license, that's the name of the artwork there. And Nana pledges loyalty to Muhammad.
Let me take you to the Inquisitor. The big story is on the GRA SML deal. State creams 2.45 million billion Ghana cedis. And then they give you some further details. Of course, Jane fires NDC up for victory in 2024. We're talking about Jane Nana Opoku-Ejiman. And then also something here, ICEG schools Osafo Mafo on load shedding timetable. So some people are not happy with the former senior minister.
All right, the new finder says Ecobank posts 985 million CD profit before tax in 2023. SML minimized under declaration but needs review. That's coming from the president. And will prosecute corrupt officials, Professor Opoku-Ejiman. Of course, Dr. Baumier's visit to the Vatican is also featuring on the front page of the New Finder.
Okay, so let me take you to the Anchor newspaper. Adamus accuses opponent of intimidation and smear campaign. Insists there's no IMC to oversee company's operations. That's the lead story. Also this morning, the story about Baumier at the Vatican. Complicit NDC elements sharing positions. Mosquito reveals as party outdoors Jane Nana. And then also something here. Coming up, top director in shady apartments scandal. And then we are told, I will blackmail you if you publish my story.
Why do they do this coming up thing? Is it like they are warning you that? Yes. Because if you have a story and you say it's coming up, then the people who have committed a crime will hide it.
No, you have the report.
They have the story.
The only thing they can do is to come and see you that will work.
Yeah, so it's not, I don't think it's a good practice.
On you. But maybe it's a...
It's like we are saying we are going to do...
No, they are advertising. It's just advertising. Like you do documentary and then you play the... Yeah.
So it's an advert. So the story is already there.
Yes.
It's cooked, okay. Everything.
Maybe
anyway.
People run away.
The Daybreak newspaper has a lot of the stories we've already mentioned. They are unique stories, though. An Umabu chief, one other jailed for contempt, fined 5,000 cedis each. Power challenges end soon. Herbert Krapa is speaking. And they also have a coming up here.
Okay.
Sebastian and grabbing of juicy state lands at prime areas in Accra. That's the Daybreak's coming up.
Okay. Now, it looks like it has something to do with this apartment because there's something apartment.
I think it's the same story.
Yeah. Okay, well, anyway.
Yeah, sharing it 50-50.
Let me take you to the ABC newspaper. The unique story is here. President Akufo-Addo commissions 15, again, I mean,
megawatts.
I mentioned earlier, yeah.
Yes.
And then we have government won't bear the cost of repairs for faulty train. And Mau, the minister for the sector, is talking here. And state housing, good news, hands over houses to Ghana Immigration Service in Kumasi.
The BNFT, finally for me, petroleum, downstream petroleum audits crucial for revenue realization. That's coming in from the president. Investment and savings culture needs major shift. The Money Summit, that's coming from the Money Summit, and the speakers, that's what they are saying. On tax, GRA clarifies tax status of resident individuals as legal, and they are encouraging, or it is encouraging, general compliance. And over 60% of public systems vulnerable to cyber attacks. That's on page 2 of the BNFT.
The business analyst says this morning, Nana Opoku-Ejiman declares corruption now rampant in Ghana. NDC will tackle it by strengthening weakened institutions. Also, IMF support program showing positive results, according to the Minister for Finance. And the Third African Media Convention, journalists and media institutions have been encouraged to register. And the photograph of the GGA president, Albert Kwabena Dufo, is here on the front page. He's the co-chair of AMC LOC.
All right, now there's a story that just came in. Accident at JJT camp on the Accra Kumasi Road. No fire service or police on site. Heavy traffic as well. So we are putting this out as a public service announcement. Road crash at the JJT on the Accra Kumasi Road. No fire service or police on site. Heavy vehicular traffic. Photos have been sent. A huge truck overturned. It looks chaotic. Sacks of what looks like cocoa.
Wow.
Also scattered by the crash, asking for the police to move there and the fire service as well. citynewsroom.com, election 2024, don't engage in political activities. Civil servants warned. This is from their head. Meanwhile, Meda, Edubuahin's son's house help arrested. You remember that story?
Yes.
There's a new development there. And then a couple stories on the Jenna. Now, be transparent. Don't suppress the truth. Professor Pokwa Jeman cautions EC. She also says, I won't tell the world I was only a driver's mate during challenges. This is the running mate. And then she says, we'll prosecute corrupt officials under Akufo-Addo's government. Now, in other stories, this is in relation to SML contract. Binke PMG report on SML GRE contract is just a whitewash. This is Martin Pebu. Indeed, that story gets a lot of attention on my journal line as well. There are about three reactions to it. Bryce Simmons asks, where is the KPMG report on SML contract audit? And then another story, CSOs challenge Akufo-Addo to transparent value for money audit of the SML contract. Now, in other stories, Dumso, power challenges would be over in the next few days.
Yo.
Herbert Krapa.
We're here.
He's the board chair of ECG, and I think he's also the deputy minister for energy. I think energy. So power sector will be. And the education minister unveils new uniforms for basic schools.
New uniforms? As in they don't like the Kukundi and Ashidechi again.
They have changed that one already.
Ah, the Kukundi and Ashidechi.
When you were studying in the UK.
Again, that's when they changed.
They changed it quietly. You didn't know.
Really?
Yeah, but you see, so this is the new one. You see, your children go to private, you don't know. So the Kukundi and Katinkwa, you know, it's been changed long time. But that was changed by, I think, under the previous MPP government.
Really?
I think in the first point.
Now they wear some blue.
So they want to change it again.
Again?
Yeah, but you didn't know. Now, a couple of stories on ECG. We don't feel safe after inconsiderate conduct of regional minister Asante ECG staff.
Mm.
Now, if you go to class 7, there's a very interesting headline that they said the workers of ECG are warning the Asante regional minister that they will disconnect him even if he was one ECG.
I love that very correct talk.
If you knew OIC, they would disconnect you. So because of what you have done, we'll disconnect you. So you should be careful. So you should make sure he has cleared all his bills. Star FM, Ghanaians have lost faith in democracy due to Akufo-Addo's inept leadership in Mahama. Meanwhile, Genjenana's headlines are there. Mahama and I have agreed to deal with corrupt government officials. And then Asiedu Nketiah says, don't dampen the enthusiasm of NDC's followers with kingmaker mantra.
Mm-hmm.
This is Asiedu Nketiah's point. Ghana News Agency, Energy Finance Ministries must provide funding to fix power challenges. This is IES.
Mm.
And then Menchia Queens of Asante Man display rich culture and local decisions. And of course, payment of salaries to first ladies is non-constitutional. This has been declared by the Supreme Court.
Okay.
So that brings some clarity to the matter.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get the headlines.
Okay, so let me take off this morning with the story about Jane Nana Opokwa-Jiman, the professor who has been named the running mate of NDC flag bearer John Dramani Mahama. So yesterday they had a big event at the UPSA and outdoored her, and she's been talking. Now, the business analyst says this morning, Professor Jane Nana Opokwa-Jiman, running mate to the flag bearer of the National Democratic Congress, John Dramani Mahama, has asserted that corruption is now too rampant in government and non-government institutions. Now, she bemoaned the fact that the institutions meant to check on corruption have been significantly weakened under this current administration. Now, speaking at the University of Professional Studies in Accra yesterday, Professor Nana Opokwa-Jiman gave the assurance that her party will strengthen the institutions meant to fight corruption when it assumes office in 2025.
A couple more stories. She's been speaking to the Electoral Commission. Mm. She says that they should uphold a transparent election and shouldn't suppress the truth. This was from yesterday's event. Professor Nana Opokwa-Jiman has called on the Electoral Commission to uphold transparency and refrain from suppressing truth in the lead-up to the December polls. She noted that the EC is facing challenges in defending its credibility, particularly in light of concerns about missing equipment in its custody. At the same program, General Mosquito says, stop fighting over positions in Mohammed's North government. The NDC National Chairman has admonished the party's leading members to refrain from squabbling over positions in Mohammed's next administration. He encouraged the parties to concentrate on winning the 2024 general election instead of getting involved in disputes that could distract them.
Okay, let me add to that quickly. Okay, you have something.
Yes, and she was saying that her choice, underlines the belief in Ghanaian women.
Okay.
So that's the angle of the Daily Graph. That's what they led with. But if you go through the story on page 13 and page 36, they highlight several other aspects of her speech from yesterday.
Let me go to another state-owned newspaper. The Ghanaian Times has an angle which talks about how President Mahama has been touting her credentials. Mm-hmm. Now, Raisa Sambu reporting says former President John Dramani Mahama has praised Professor Nana Jane Opokuagyeman as a woman of unparalleled integrity, saying her credentials were unmatched and her passion for Ghana's development was unwavering. Now, speaking at the official outdooring of Professor Opokuagyeman as his running mate, Mr. Mahama lamented that the current administration's mismanagement had led to a crisis of faith in democracy amongst Ghanaians.
Let me give you a quick story. Don't engage in political activity. Civil servants have been warned by their chief director or the head of civil service, Dr. Evans Agridaku, has called on civil servants across the country to refrain from engaging in political activities in the lead-up to the 2024 election. He urged them to concentrate on fulfilling their roles in driving general economic growth by implementing policies and programs that foster stability, peace, and security. He made these remarks during the press launch of the 2024 Civil Servants Week and the 2023 awards ceremony themed Combating Threats to Sub-Regional Peace and Security Perspectives of the Civil Service.
All right, let's get to page 13 of the Daily Graphic, where the Supreme Court is saying salaries of first and second ladies unconstitutional.
Charlie, women are in the news.
Charlie, Justice Agbenosi is writing for the Daily Graphic, and he says spouses of the president and the vice president are not public officers under Article 71 of the Constitution, and as such cannot be entitled to salaries and other benefits and privileges charged from the Consolidated Fund, the Supreme Court has ruled. Consequently, a seven-member panel of the Supreme Court chaired by Chief Justice Gertrude Torkornoo has declared as unconstitutional Parliament's approval to pay salaries to the first and second ladies since they were not recognized under the Constitution to receive salaries. He added that the work of the Emoluments Committee of Parliament was limited to recommending the salaries and other benefits and privileges of only public office holders.
Before we go to SML, stay with women, because there's now a clamor in parts of Accra for another woman.
Yes, yes. So the Chronicle has that story as its lead story. Please pick Natoshi. They are telling Baumia. And Maxwell Ofori reporting on page 3 of the paper. The story says that women's organizers of the New Patriotic Party in the Greater Accra region have appealed to the flag bearer of the party to appoint a female running mate. Now, they want Dr. Baumia to particularly focus on the Greater Accra region and select the administrator of the District Assembly's Common Fund, Irene Natoshi Adu Late. Now, however, they would also prefer any of the females whose names have surfaced as potential choices to be given the chance to partner with Dr. Baumia, who is yet to name his running mate. Now, it goes on to provide further details. So, for instance, they say that the women's organizers in the Greater Accra region held a press conference on Wednesday, April 24, 2024 in Accra, where the deputy regional organizer, Perpetual Asante, supported by her boss, Madam Charity and others, pleaded with the MPP flag bearer to consider Natoshi. And further stories, what the details are in the story, including what they have said previously, the other groups have said previously.
So yesterday it was Chief of Staff.
Yes.
Today is Natoshi.
Yes.
So be like now, the other story is the KPMG audit. It really depends on how you look at it. So there are many angles to the report. Yeah. So, for example, the report says that the way the contract was granted was not the best, but they've also asked for... So what we've seen in the white paper, I've not seen the full report. That's point number one. The full report has been sent to the presidency, but the president's communication team has issued a white paper which has outlined what they agree with. Now, one of the things they've said is that...
They issued a statement.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So there should be a renegotiation of the contract for other works, but they should finish what they've started. Now, that has many interpretations. Let me read the graphic version as the general point. So President Akufo-Addo has directed the downstream petroleum audit services provided by Strategic Mobilization Ghana Limited, SML, to continue due to the savings made to the state. Now, let me quote what he says. There is a clear need for the downstream petroleum audit service provided by SML. The GRA and the state have benefited from these services since SML commenced providing them. There's an increase in volumes of 1.7 billion liters and an increase in tax revenue to the state of 2.4 billion. KPMG also observed that there were qualitative benefits, including 24/7 electric real-time monitoring of outflow and partial monitoring of inflows of petroleum products at depots where SML had installed flow meters and 6 levels of reconciliation done by SML. This minimizes the occurrence of underdeclarations. The president stated in his recommendations on the audit report he instructed KPMG to conduct.
Okay.
However, he directed that the contract should be reviewed to reflect some changes. The reviews should change the fee structure from variable to fixed, with other provisions of the contract, including clauses on intellectual property rights, termination and service delivery expectations, also reviewed. They also quote that.
Okay.
And then the present directive followed recommendations of audit and advisory firm KPMG that there is clear need for the downstream petroleum audit services provided by SML. Now, whether it is SML that should continue that work, I'm not sure. So they said the work is necessary. But mind you, they also said that before SML came, somebody else had been doing that work before SML was given the contract. So I feel we should read the report fully.
We don't have it. The president has it under his armpit.
And we should beg him to release it. Or, you know what I'm saying? And we also should understand the methodology KPMG used in coming to those conclusions. Mm. Now, there have been a couple of reactions to this that I just want to read to you. If you go to citynewsroom.com, Martin Pebu has been interviewed. He's a lawyer. And he feels like the report is a whitewash. Bryce Simmons and CSOs are asking for the report to be released. And they are also saying that CSOs are willing to do a transparent value for money audit of the contract. So let me read that story for you. So some civil society organizations have questioned the president's response to the KPMG audit on the revenue mobilization contract between GRA and SML. In a press statement, the CSOs emphasized the importance of acknowledging infractions in awarding the contract, particularly in light of the observations made in the press statement released by the presidency regarding the audit. The statement recognized the need for significant improvement in assessing the country's requirement before awarding contracts or any assurance, especially concerning connections between wholesale depots and fuel retail outlets. The president endorsed the recommendations of discontinuing the upstream petroleum and minerals audit service previously provided by the SML to GRA, as indicated by Eugene Ayin in a letter he wrote yesterday. The statement also revealed that SML received a total of 1 billion in excess from 2018 to date. But in their statement, the CSOs argued that the numerous infractions in the contract demand that the full report be made public to provide transparency and accountability. We'll deal with some of those later during the program. Sky.
Yeah, I just want to draw your attention, Bernard, to a story on page 3 of the Inquisitor newspaper. It says that Medical and Dental Council commences hearing of extortion against 37 military hospital doctor. The story says that the Medical and Dental Council has finally commenced hearings into the case brought against a medical doctor at the 37 military hospital on charges of extortion and medical negligence 4 years after a complaint was filed. This is taking too long. Now, the doctor, recently promoted Brigadier General G.A. Uapia, was responsible for managing the case of Solomon Asarikuma, who was admitted on August 22, 2019, and who passed away on October 21 of the same year. Now, he's accused by the family of illegally charging the family 40,000 Ghana cedis for a procedure that they ended up paying for again to the hospital, contrary to assurances that the payment was the entire management of the patient, including his surgical procedure.
All right. A few
and then
stories.
Also, quickly, if I may.
I thought I need to give you a school uniform story since you didn't know.
Yeah, okay.
So, this is my journal. Education Minister Dr. Yaosei Duchum has rolled out a new set of uniforms for basic school students as part of an initiative to rebrand public education.
I see.
According to him, this is part of the rebranding effort by the Education Ministry to enhance the image of public schools.
Really?
He made his announcement during an unveiling ceremony presentation at the University of Personal Studies. He's been in the news this week.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of things. Though, because
2 days ago, he was on Free SHS. Monday, he was on something. Yeah. Yesterday, too, he was at UPSA. He did a presentation.
Yeah.
Dr. Dishum said, you see, you don't see brown and yellow. We are rebranding public schools. No brown and yellow.
Okay.
Blue and white. And we are changing the uniforms, too. This is the President Akufo-Addo and Vice President Bawumia's Ghana. We have begun. I thought 2 days ago he said we should not be doing politics with education. We have begun the transformation. There's no reason why you should not. Ghana deserves better, and we are going to give them better. Something that we can all be proud of.
Mm.
Contrary to critics who say he has abandoned basic schools, Dr. Duchum insists this isn't the case. He says he missions a day where parents will beg to enroll their children in basic schools.
Mm.
Maybe they should start by putting their children there first.
Yeah, so that we can all follow.
So, yes. Yeah.
Let me just, talking about school, you know, yesterday the Ghanaian Times did a story exposing the dismissal of a girl from school after she had
But has the man been arrested, by the way?
Well, hopefully. If you go to the story today, they are saying that the lady or the young girl is back in school following a directive from the Ghana Education Service to that effect. That's great news.
Was now, it based on an intervention by anybody? Or just the story?
The GES, apparently. Yeah, the story led to GES directive.
Well done, now, Ghanaian
yeah,
Times.
The Ghana, well done,
Ghanaian
Times. Yes, great.
That's
great.
What the power of media
exactly
does for you. And then We'll end it here and say a big thank you to Nathan and Richard Sky. Coming up next is the City Business News.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
7 o'clock, City Business News, brought to you by Goyal, Access Bank and MTN. Nashika Siza has the news. Good morning.
Good morning, Bernard. Hello and welcome to the breakfast edition of the City Business News, proudly brought to you by MTN, Goyal and Access Bank. My name is Nashika Siza. Coming up, local commercial banks advocate for increased tax incentives from government to encourage savings. Also coming up, auditing and advisory firm KPMG pushes for increased commitment from corporate bodies to accelerate progress towards meeting sustainable development goals. The details of our stories now. Commercial banks in the country are advocating for increased tax incentives from the government to encourage saving. They are arguing that despite the robust economic growth, savings rates across the country remain alarmingly low. Ordinarily, savings are taxed twice under most tax systems, discouraging individuals from saving as their income is taxed initially and then any interest earned on savings is taxed again. Speaking at the 2024 Money Summit in Accra, the Deputy Managing Director of Fidelity Bank Ghana Yeboah, Atta Yeboah Jan, underscored the need of financial inclusion.
We must consider more tax incentives. If as a nation we want to promote a culture of savings, we must induce that through tax incentives. If, for instance, I could save towards a child's education and I could be allowed that as a deduction from my tax obligations, I have an incentive to save because I know by saving, I will have to save something on my tax obligation. We must prescribe which long-term investments will qualify for tax incentives and pursue them. We must promote financial inclusion to ensure that all segments of society have access to investment opportunities and financial services. While we rethink savings and investment from the perspectives of all these stakeholders, it is also imperative that we broaden the scope of the investment conversation and relook at alternative investment opportunities around us.
That was the Deputy Managing Director of Fidelity Bank, Atta Yeboah Jan, speaking there. Now, the country's senior partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers PwC, Vish Ashiagbo, has asserted that the current performance of the local currency hinges significantly on market dynamics, including supply trends. Despite some stability against the dollar year-on-year, he emphasized the importance of addressing the import dependence of the local economy. This, he believes, will help cushion the city further in the coming weeks. Vish Ashiagbo spoke to the media on the sidelines of the press launch of the 2024 CEO Summit in Accra.
Essentially, whether a currency appreciates or depreciates is a matter of demand and supply. It kind of depends on what's happening in the economy. Are doing so on the basis that we expect some injection of Forex into the economy, either from IMF or other sources, that will improve the supply, and therefore those who are demanding Forex will have sufficient currency available, and therefore the rate can be somewhat more stable, maybe even appreciate. Those who are projecting a further depreciation, I guess, are looking at the fact that we are looking that maybe there'll be additional demand put on currency, because, as you know, we are basically an import-driven economy. So in simple terms, what I'll say is it kind of depends on what your view of the demand-supply dynamics are and are going to be going forward. We don't have any particular projections at this point. We follow what the Bank of Ghana, who is actually responsible for management of the currency, says. And therefore, we look forward to some stabilization or some greater stabilization. I think we have seen a significant level of stabilization compared to what we saw, for example, 18 months or so ago.
That was a country senior partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, Vish Ashiagbo. Now, despite the present economic circumstances, auditing and advisory firm KPMG is pushing for increased commitment from corporate bodies and government to accelerate progress towards meeting the sustainable development goals. According to the firm, many countries are far ahead of Ghana in terms of implementing measures to promote the agenda before the 2030 deadline. Addressing the media after a press conference on sustainable development amidst global challenges in Accra, partner at KPMG Kwame Benier called for a more aggressive approach towards achieving the agenda.
It's deep war in a sense that the UN Sustainable Development Goals is something that we as a country must attain. And we are only about 5 years and a few months away. So I wanted to be very specific with the timelines. And it calls for an important action. And that's why we at KPMG are putting things like this together to ensure that the awareness is there. And then, I mean, thankfully, I think we mentioned that if you look at the national agenda, sustainability has become an inculcated part where it shows our commitment to it. But again, more must be done. I mean, really to bring and attract those financing to support the SDGs. Not on track, but I believe with most things, as the deadline approaches, there's more action to it. But I think all stakeholders are being called, I mean, through this medium to really take a look at how they understand this and also bring their own contributions to make it a reality.
Kwame Banier is a partner at KPMG. Moving on, the Chief Executive Officer of the Ghana Export Promotion Authority, Dr. Ifua Sabia Asari, has highlighted the importance of attractive and quality packaging and the quest to attract customers while standing out in an overcrowded market. According to her, strong branding, which includes the packaging of product, is necessary for building reputation and winning the trust of consumers. Dr. Asari admonished players in the industry to continue to adhere to high standards of production.
Between the quality of packaging and consumer purchasing behavior, reinforcing the notion that packaging adds value and quality to a product, aiding consumers' decision-making processes. These findings align with previous research indicating that poorly packaged products deter consumers from purchasing regardless of their quality. While these conclusions may seem obvious to many of us, we find that this knowledge has not effectively permeated our local manufacturing landscape and impacted our approach to packaging products for local and international markets. I am sure we can all agree that in the dynamic world of manufacturing, branding reigns supreme.
You heard Chief Executive Officer of the Ghana Export Promotion Authority, Dr. Ifua Asabia Asari there. Now, the Diaper Importers Association of Ghana says recent action by the Food and Drugs Authority, FDA, seems to lay credence to allegations of attempt to collapse their businesses in creating a monopoly for other entities in the industry. The FDA confiscated and destroyed some 40 footer containers of diapers at its recycling plant in Ashaiman and cautioned manufacturers, importers and distributors against importing unhygienic baby diapers, also known as bale diapers. Speaking to the media, Albert Obin, the secretary of the Diaper Importers Association of Ghana, stated that despite complying with all regulatory requirements, their certificates have been revoked.
When you do this, then the impression that is out that certain persons possibly may have contacted FDA in an attempt to get monopoly, then what we are doing seeks to give credence to what the allegations that people are putting out there. We are open to re-engage them, to ask them why certificates could be given to members to work. And then in about a month or two, they come back to redraw the same certificates that they have issued to our members. There are conditions to fulfill, conditions to get the registration done, and the penalties associated if you bring them unregistered.
That was Secretary of the Diaper Importers Association of Ghana, Albert Obin there. Now on the interbank foreign exchange market, where banks trade among themselves, the dollar remained unchanged and is selling at 13 cedis 8 pesos. The British pound is selling at 16 cedis 27 pesos. It's recorded no price change. The euro is selling at 14 cedis. It also recorded no price change. However, at some forex bureaus in the capital, the dollar is selling at 13 cedis 55 pesos, while the British pound could be sold to you at 16 cedis 60 pesos, and the euro is going for 14 cedis 40 pesos. And that's it for the breakfast edition of the City Business News, proudly brought to you by MTN Goyle and Access Bank. My name is Nashika Caesar. Many thanks for joining me. Do have a great business day.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
The power of relevant radio. This is City 97.3.
So City Business News was brought to us by Goyle, and we are re-announcing that we've opened ultra-modern liquefied petroleum auto gas stations. That means that if you want to buy gas for your house or you want to buy gas for your car, LPG, Goyle has integrated that into our fuel stations. So you go to the Berma Camp Goyle service station, you can get normal petrol, you can also get gas. You can get this gas at Kpeshi Goyle Service Center, Pedro Junction in Cape Coast, a place Bernard Abeku. You know Pedro Junction?
100%.
You're a Cape Coast boy. And of course, Takoradi in Pinsing Goyle Service Station, as well as Kenton Chrono in Kumasi, not far from KNUST. News also brought to us by the Access Bank. For all your cross-border payments, visit any of our branches and PAPS it. Yes, PAPS it. What does it mean? Pan-African Payment and Settlement System is a new arrangement where you can send money in CDs to be received in any other currency, whether it's Naira or Dalasi or the other CFA francs. Yes, so this is Liberia, Nigeria, Gambia, Guinea, Sierra Leone. Call 0800-004400 or go to ghana.accessbankplc.com for more information. If you're looking for a smarter and more convenient way to stay connected, then it's time to live seamlessly with MTN's eSIM. You don't have to carry multiple phones around, because with MTN eSIM, you have multiple numbers linked to just one smartphone. Dial *#06#, check your phone's eligibility, download my MTN app, or visit MTN's website to request for your eSIM. Go seamless with MTN eSIM for convenience and seamless connectivity. Kickoff is next, brought to you by Lesheho, Zonda, and Shell. The Lesheho fixed deposit solution is your best option to watch your investment grow with confidence. You're making your money work harder for you with our fixed deposit solution. Call 027-004-0799 or WhatsApp 027-004-0733. Let's talk about investing in a sustainable way. Lesheho, let's improve life. And in a world where dreams are the driving force, one company stands out as the hope of transformation. Zonda Ghana, your one-stop shop for quality trucks like Shantui bulldozers, excavators, graders, and more. We do not only create opportunities and empower people, we also provide top-notch after-sales support. Visit us today for your light-duty trucks, your pickups, your oil tanks, and more. We are off the Atema Plow Road, close to the Free Zones Enclave. You may also reach us on 0501-773-333. Zonda, built in Ghana, building Ghana. And Shell Helix Ultra Zero W20 SP, specially formulated with a unique Shell Pure Plastic that actively keeps your engine clean. Shell Helix provides unsurpassed wear and sludge protection, leaves your pistons cleaner than a whistle, up to 50% more than the industry standard. Shell Helix Ultra Zero W20 SP is designed to be safe for the environment with a significant reduction in carbon emissions. Shell Helix Zero W20 SP Ultra, made for premium.
McNeil has gone deep.
There's the header, there's the second. Dominic Calvert-Lewin batters a header home. Everton are in dreamland. Everton 2, Liverpool 0. Everton 2, Liverpool 0. Yes, Calvert-Lewin.
That was the end of the title challenge, Charlie.
That's a perfect introduction. That's it. That's it. Wow.
He said, me jump football no cry. me compare basketball.
I mean, I think when the coach said he was not going to be in the same position as the head coach, or the,
yeah, they destroyed everything.
It's spoiled.
The announcement spoiled everything.
It
introduced negative emotion.
Absolutely.
And lost the Europa League 3-0 at home.
Against
lost
Atalanta,
FA Cup against Man U. Everton has now
Liverpool.
Finished.
This is not Liverpool.
No, this is actually Liverpool. this is a real Liverpool. The team I've seen was this is a real one.
Wow.
Oh, Charlie. So right now we are looking for something else to do with our lives.
But there are games to go, you know.
It's okay. The league is over. I'm looking for something else to do.
Well, you can't just give up that early, you know, Ben. But hey, there's a lot more. Everton moved closer to Premier League survival and put a huge dent in Liverpool's Premier League title challenge with an outstanding win at the Goodison Park. There is more from last night's action in the Premier League. Plus, Manchester City will take their turn tonight against Brighton at the Amex Stadium. All of that plus this to look forward to.
He's a good coach with a lot of experience. I've been with him at the national team, I think, 2021 also, when we won the AFCON U20, AFCON in Mauritania.
Dreams FC are putting the pieces together for the Zamalek clash on Sunday. All of that plus some tennis news with me, Bernard Abeku-Audrey. Now, let's get into it. Midfielder Ofori Makati has expressed his delight at working with head coach Abdul Karim Zito as they prepare for the upcoming second leg match against Zamalek on Sunday. Their partnership dates back to 2021 when they achieved success together during the Black Satellites' triumph at the Under-20 AFCON in Mauritania. Now, the pair are on the brink of securing a spot in the final of the CAF Confederations Cup if they are able to secure a good result against Zamalek. Makati praised Zito ahead of the crucial match in Kumasi, sharing insight with City Sport about their journey in the competition so far.
Yeah, I would say it's a pleasure working under him because he has seen it all. He's a good coach with a lot of experience. I've been with him at the national team, I think, 2021 also, when we won the AFCON U20, AFCON in Mauritania. So I think he has a lot of experience. And I think the confidence he has, that's what he always puts in us. So whenever we go onto the field, we do what is needed.
How would you describe the journey right from the prelims to where you've gotten out? How would you describe the experience going from Nigeria to Tunisia to Mali, Egypt? How's the experience been for you as a player?
Yeah, as a player, it's a good experience for me because I could say this is the first time I'm playing such competition. Yeah, and you know, playing such competition comes with a lot of experience now. It wasn't easy, but I think the kind of experience we have, that's what we are going to, use it in our net.
Now, Dreams are in Kumasi and will continue on preparation towards that game, the big test against Zamalek. We head to Russia now and Ghana's Black Starlets face a setback in the ongoing match of the Four Nations tournament in Volgograd, suffering a 3-1 loss to Russia. The Starlets got their only goal through Ernest Dofori in the 65th minute. Leicester side will now face Serbia next and Kazakhstan before heading back to Ghana to continue preparation for the WAFU B Under-17 Cup of Nations. Now, so thus, the communications director of the Ghana Football Association, Henry Asantuchu, has emphasized the extensive discussions held with the Ministry of Youth and Sport to ensure coaches' payments are effectively managed. He underscored the FA's commitment to compensate coaches appointed for the newly established national teams for their ongoing engagement until the government assumes full responsibility for their remuneration. These remarks were made during yesterday's episode of Football Made in Ghana with Nathan Kwao.
We and the ministry talk plenty. In fact, even before we go to AFCON, we get the chance to meet the president. Where we tell the president, say, from the way things they go, if they don't come inside, yeah, what will happen? But You see, say, if something happened for a long time, where you won't change them, sometimes, some way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then tell us, say, the best way, they say, then go get maybe some corporate entity, where then go dedicate some funding to that project. Okay. National team, coaches, them are salaries, their remuneration. So in the interim, in the absence of government, say, you go pay or you know go pay, with the meet government, blah, blah, blah. What we decide, we say, anytime they are engaged, we they remunerate them. Like, then go pram pram. Like, the way lie they pram pram for like 5 months, if they build the U-17, we remunerate them. We they give them money, so say, it go sustain them whilst it they pram pram. It not being alone. It be in two assistants.
Henry Asantechum is the communication director of the Ghana Football Association. Let's move to Europe now. All right, let's get into it. And at the Goodison Park last night, Everton inflicted a potentially fatal blow to Liverpool's Premier League title hopes and took a huge step towards safety with a deserved 2-0 win over their Merseyside rivals at Goodison Park. The defeat leaves club side 3 points behind Arsenal in second place with only 4 games to play and means Manchester City, who have 2 games in hand, can move 2 points above them with a win over Brighton later today at the Amex. We hear from Virgil van Dijk, very distraught after the loss to Everton.
Yeah, unnecessary, because obviously, you know, these games especially is always a big fight, and something that we shouldn't have lost, in my opinion, but we did. And now we have to pick ourselves up and be ready for early kickoff on Saturday again.
Very lastly, you mentioned the title and the challenge that you're in. Do you consider yourself still to be in it?
Well, if you play like today, then we have no chance to consider ourselves in the title race. And we have to just focus on the next game. And that will be up on anyway again. And then we'll see.
You heard from the Liverpool captain Virgil van Dijk. Elsewhere at Old Trafford, Manchester United had to come from behind twice to beat bottom side Sheffield United, as late goals from Bruno Fernandes and Ashmus Hoyland gave Erik ten Hag's side a 4-2 win. At Selhurst Park, Jean-Philippe Mateta scored another double as Crystal Palace beat Newcastle 2-0, dealing a setback to the Magpies' hope of European football next season. Ghana's Jordan Ayew grabbed an assist in the game for Palace. Another Ghanaian was on target elsewhere at the Molineux. Antoine Semenyo, his goal lifted Bournemouth above Wolves in the Premier League table with a 1-0 win. It is Semenyo's 8th goal of the season for the Sherries. Later today, title chasing Manchester City will be without leading scorer Erling Haaland for tonight's Premier League clash with Brighton. Haaland missed the FA Cup semi-final win over Chelsea on Saturday with a muscle issue and has now been ruled out off his side's trip to the Amex Stadium. Manager Pep Guardiola insists Haaland's issue is not a serious one for the 20-goal striker.
Erling is not ready for it. The other two, they are ready.
You've said over the last few weeks that this has been your toughest season in terms of like getting teams on the pitch. Why is that? Is that just because of the weight of injuries, accumulation of matches, coming back after winning the treble?
The matches have been quite similar, like previous seasons. When you arrive in the last stage, it's always quite similar. Of course, we have the World Cup in Saudi Arabia, but I would say it's quite easy. You have a lot of problems, important players with injuries, and new players set up, and of course, after win the treble and my things, but still we are there. So we won 2 titles this season. We are in the final FA Cup. We arrive at the last stages in Champions League and Premier League. We are there.
Pep Guardiola is Manchester City's boss in Spain. Barcelona's coach Xabi will remain at the club until at least the end of his contract in June 2025 after changing his mind that this would be his last season. The 44-year-old announced in January he would step down as boss this summer. But with President Juan Laporta keen for him to remain, the former Barcelona and Spanish midfielder has performed a U-turn. Xabi took charge in November 2021 after leaving Qatari club Al Sadd and guiding Barcelona to the Spanish title in his first full season in charge in 2022-2023. However, they are 11 points behind La Liga leaders Real Madrid with 6 games left to play in the current campaign. In France, Ousmane Dembele and Kylian Mbappe both scored twice as Paris Saint-Germain moved one step closer to the Ligue 1 title. We do some tennis now, and Spain's Rafael Nadal says he's not sure if he will be able to play at next month's French Open as he continues his comeback from injury at the Madrid Open. The 37-year-old said that he is far from being in top form and that he is only playing against 16-year-old American Darren Blanche in his first round match in Madrid as a personal sacrifice.
Enjoying playing Concorde, practicing against the best players again. I'm feeling myself more or less competitive. In other moments, I feel limitations, and then it's difficult, no? Because at the end, when you say, I would love to be here, even if it's the last chance that for playing here, I would love to be here. And just saying, okay, I'm here and I am good enough, even if it's my last time, I'm going to try my best to have the best result possible.
You heard the latest from Spain's Rafael Nadal. That's your sports this morning. For more sports stories, kindly head to our website, citysportonline.com. Kickoff is proudly brought to you by Shell, Lechejo, and Zonda. I am Bernard Abeku-Ojere. Sport is life. Get involved.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation. The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down? Tell me. Oh, what you gonna do? Do you wanna get down? Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down?
By standing on the wall,
get your back up off the wall.
Tell me, how you gonna do it if you really don't wanna dance? By standing on the wall,
get your back up off the wall.
'Cause I heard all the people saying,
get down on it,
come on then.
The power of Relevant Radio.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation.
Tell me, baby, how you gonna do it if you really don't wanna dance? By standing on the wall,
get your back up on the wall.
Tell me, how you gonna do it if you really won't take a chance? By standing on the wall.
Get down on it. 7:38. Quick requests round on people celebrating their birthdays. Happy birthday to my friend Moro Awudu. I think now you're Metro TV.
What you gonna do?
Celebrating your birthday today.
What you gonna do?
And a special one also to the Omni Competent Captain of Engine Ghana Limited. This is from Georgette Kwamye to, the name is not there, but basically say you are the Captain of Engine Ghana Limited. So I guess you know who you are. And to the Deputy MD of ADB, Mrs. Eno Oforiata. As we celebrate, or as you celebrate this special day, we wish you joy and many more years of grace and endless blessings from the board and management and staff of ADB PLC. by standing. Happy 40th to Mr. John Mark Bekui.
Listen, baby.
More blessings, bro. And to Mami Boafua Tetefio, wishing you abundant blessings and grace upon grace. May all the lines fall to you in pleasant places. We love you from the Nyantechi family. To my wife Cordelia Asante, long life and prosperity to you from your husband Richard. Join me, wish a happy 40th to my incredible wife Inshira Mami Boafua Tetefio. She continues to inspire me with her great strength and beauty. Here's to the countless memories we've created together and the adventures yet to come. May this milestone year be filled with love, laughter, and all the joy you deserve. Cheers to you, my love. From all of us, Karis, Dromo, and Harrison. Happy birthday to John Sunny Thomas, CEO of MM Energy. A blessed birthday. May the good Lord continue to shower his blessings upon your life. This is coming from Gordon. And today is the birthday of a very popular guy, Mr. C. and House.
Birthday? No, it was last week.
Well, he shouted today. Well, I thought it was
today. No. C. and I did it for him last week. Cry.
Are you sure?
C. and N. Quote. Yeah.
What do you call today that today is his birthday?
Oh, no. Then
maybe today is the day he was born again. He's born again day.
Bole!
Are you sure?
I'm saying I did the thing. Wow. Well, you don't even remember.
Maybe
you
did it in advance.
I heard
today was the deal.
No. CNN Kuti. I did it for a couple of days ago, last week.
Really? Because I heard he's 50 years old.
Oh, so, then maybe the person is just adding some.
investigate this matter because it's very problematic. Because the call came very early.
Okay. Well, then we have to investigate it. But maybe, I'm telling you that he himself called me.
No, check it.
Oh, I'm telling you, he called me.
Maybe you were dreaming. You can dream your when you dream, you're urinating. When you wake up, you're urinating.
Sometimes you're not sure. When you wake up, you see
you're urinating in a place. You wake up, it's on your bed. It's not bad. So let's be sure that CNN was calling you when you were awake, not when you were dreaming.
Oh, my God.
Please wish my wife a happy birthday.
Tell me, how you gonna
Vincentia Agbo Mani Sabute. Tell her I love her, coming from your husband Victus Sabute.
There are a number of them that I have here, Bernard, if I may. Okay. Okay, so this one says, good morning, Bernard. Please help me wish a happy 40th birthday to my incredible wife, Nshira Mami Boafu Tetefio. You've done that already?
Long time.
Oh, I see.
Long
time. Forgive me. Okay. This one says, happy birthday to my wife.
You're talking to CNN.
He has to catch up.
My wife, Cordelia Asante. You have done that already?
Bro.
Okay, this one I'm sure you have not done.
This was the news.
No, this one you have not done.
Which one?
This one, okay. Hello, my brother.
Hello.
Good morning. Trust you and the family are doing well. Today is our twins, the sons, yeah?
Okay.
Paul Atta.
Okay.
And Peter Kuma Jassa's birthday. Kindly wish them happy, glorious birthday. We pray for God's continuous protection, grace, mercy, love, and joy, as well as blessings for them and their families. More love from their parents, Solomon and Vicky W. Jassa. These are my aunties and the husband, and today we celebrate you, Ata and Kuma, as we used to call them.
Bernard, there are a number on our WhatsApp console. Happy birthday to Aurelia Afi Apre of PUC. It's coming from PURC. It's coming from her husband, Dr. Charles Apre of KNUSC. He says, my love, with each passing year, your beauty, grace, and warmth only deepen. Here's to celebrating the incredible woman you are and the love that fills our heart. You're not just my wife, but my soulmate, my partner in every adventure and the light of my life. Here's to countless more birthdays together. And a happy birthday to Samuel Ntifo, a chartered accountant with the Ghana Audit Service Commercial Audit Department. May you be blessed beyond measure. Have a fun-filled day. From Shelley, City FM, please, good morning. Please, I want to wish our daddy, Reverend Dr. Richard Mensah Jah, a happy, glorious birthday from his wife and children. They're wishing him a happy birthday. May your 10th birthday be full of meaningful surprises, genuine laughter, and the love that wraps around you every day. May your journey be as lovely as your spirit. I love you so much, my princess. Happy birthday, Beryl Fafali Agbashi, from your dad, Mawena. Good morning, Aloski and team. Finally, from me, Bernard, Congratulations to Professor Martin Otinga Bebio. Mm-hmm. Bernard, he is of the Department of Geography and Human Resource Development. You know him already. Mm-hmm. He has received the 2024 Kwejo Kunedu Ajiman Distinguished Scholar mm-hmm. in African Geography Award from the African Specialty Group of the American Association of Geographers.
Wow.
And the award celebrates him as a distinguished scholar in African Geography.
Wonderful.
So Ayiko to Professor Martin Otinga Bebio.
Big man, big man. Let me do this one quickly, Bernard, if I may. Kindly help me wish Mr. Johnson Sunny Thomas, Chief Executive Officer of MM Energy, a blessed happy birthday. May the Lord continue to shower his blessings upon his life and that of his household at this point in his life. He's a good man. It's coming in from Gordon Sarr, National Organizer, APAM Secondary School, all students.
We've done this. Yeah, Gordon Sarr sent me this earlier.
It was going on because I was outside. Okay,
so good. Which is guy of Oxford, which is guy of City University, which is guy of Buckingham, which is guy of Gimpa.
Man, that's small. Happy birthday to Davuche of Bost.
Have you not?
He's a fantastic guy.
Right now,
it's coming.
Join the Purple Experience to explore the future of banking, which comes with the First Atlantic Bank, the digital bank of the year. With their awesome digital banking platforms, the First Atlantic Bank gives you a new digital world experience. Download the First Atlantic Bank mobile app from the Google Play Store or dial *442# for your bank transactions. Also available are the First Atlantic Bank Internet Banking, Corporate Pay, DigiPay and Master and Visa cards for all your banking needs. It's safe, secure and very simple to operate. First Atlantic Bank, refreshingly different. And hey, listeners, Mother's Day is just around the corner. And Africa World Airlines is ready to make it extra special for you and your mom. Picture you and mom soaring through the skies, creating unforgettable memories above the clouds with our exclusive celebrations in the air service. It's all possible.
Uh-huh.
Surprise your mom during her flights by selecting a package from our list along with a heartfelt message, and we will deliver it to her on board. Yes. Send us an email to celebrations@flyafricaworld.com. So that's celebrations with an S at flyafricaworld.com. Or call our toll-free line 0800-200-200 for more information. Now make this Mother's Day one she'll never forget with Africa World Airlines. You can equally celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, achievements, and special occasions through our celebrations in the air service. So book your ticket now and let's celebrate mom in style.
Come on.
Yeah, let's go on, sir.
Now imagine launching your career, starting your own business, or embarking on advanced studies within 6 months of graduation at Ashesi University. That's nearly every graduate's reality. From Accra to Nairobi, London to New York, Ashesi graduates are noticed and they are leading successful careers. Regardless of what you choose to study, an Ashesi education gives you a strong foundation for life. So visit ashesi.edu.gh to learn more about Ashesi Advantage. Remember, admission is ongoing. And Standard Water has over 25 years of experience in providing quality and refreshing water to quench your thirst. This refreshing water brand is available in 11 regions of Ghana, and we are still expanding. Standard Water gives you the following product offering: sachet, bottled, dispenser, mounted jar, customized water for your parties and other special occasions. Standard Water is available for purchase from supermarkets, retail shops, and sales delivery trucks. For quality water, drink Standard Water. For inquiries and purchases, call 0202-055-703 or 0547-334-385. This advert is FDA approved.
Now, Pepsodent's Cavity Fighter is fortified with profluoride and microcalcium ingredients that help to seal tiny and invisible holes in your teeth. That's why you need it, because every time we eat, food gets trapped between our teeth. And it comes in several types. They've got the big family pack, the 120 gram pack, 65 gram and 12 gram sachets. Pepsodent is recommended by the Ghana Dental Association. And don't forget to brush your teeth twice, once in the morning and once at night before you sleep. Pepsodent, every smile matters. Now, continue to save an extra 30,000 CDs when you purchase the VWT Huano Space. Take advantage now. Drive Ghana, drive folks, Wagen. T's and Z Supply. Contact VW Ghana on 025-795-6688. Now, if you are experiencing doomsor and you are wondering how to keep your appliances on even through the dark times, Translite Solar Limited has very affordable solutions for you. With Translite Solar Systems, you save on the cost of electricity and get consistent supply of power. Install a system from Translite Solar and enjoy uninterrupted power supply. Find them at East Legon on the 98 Boundary Road in between ARS and the American House at the White House bus stop. Call them on 0504-249-229 or 0206-542-454. Visit translitesolar.com. Wherever there is light, there is Translite.
All right, so let's take one last one.
Yes, and if you're a young Ghanaian seeking stable, fulfilling employment, this is for you. Look no further. Ghana Grows Program is brought to you by the MasterCard Foundation in collaboration with Springboard Roadshow Foundation and Limehouse. What happens is we ignite hope and guide you towards career opportunities in agriculture, agribusiness, technical and vocational skills. Whether you're 15 or 35, male or female, this program equips you with the skills to thrive. Embrace agric and ATVET careers with Ghana Grows. For more information, call us on 0308-255-775.
All right, so let me give some background to this SML story, and then we'll then go into the highlights of the letter the communication director of the presidency released, so we can give some context. So sometime in 2023, December, the Fourth Estate did a report in which they said that SML Ghana had won a sole source contract to do a number of things for the GRA, though the company had no prior experience in revenue assurance. Right. Then they also said that the company had claimed that it had saved the nation from a potential revenue loss amounting to 3 billion CDs. At the time, it was 3 billion. At the time, the managing director of SML, Christian Tetesoti, claimed he didn't know about the 3 billion figure that the Fourth Estate had published. And then he said basically that there was a presentation they had made to the Daily Graphic, which had then been construed to be the revenue savings. Now, the Fourth Estate then petitioned the Office of Special Prosecutor to do an investigation into the revenue assurance contract between the GRA and SML, which is Strategic Mobilization Limited. And the OSP in his half-year report said that they had started the investigation, right? So OSP organized published their half-year report January 18, 2024. I'm just giving these timelines so we get a background. So December, Fourth Estate does a story. They then write to the OSP. OSP in their half-year report said they began preliminary investigations. Now, the half-year report covers July 1 to December 31 of last year. Now, this OSP announcement they made in January happened to coincide with the same period that the president asked tax audit firm KPMG to investigate the contract and submit a report. Now, the main claims that the Fourth Estate made was possible corruption, including breaches of the Public Procurement Act in respect of the contractual arrangement. And of course, there were other issues that follow. All right. Now, the Fourth Estate itself had detailed circumstances surrounding the signing of the contract, which they say was worth nearly $100 million a year for revenue assurance in the upstream petroleum and gold mining sectors. And then they give some background. They also said that some of the agencies involved in the sectors that they were supposed to, that were concerned, denied knowledge of the contract between SML and GRE. So that's the background. Now, we do not know, we don't know if OSP has finished their work, because in January they published a half-year report, right? We are in April. So we don't know if they will do another half-year report in June. Be that as it may, KPMG finished their work and submitted the report to the president in March. Of course, the president asked them to do their work so he will know what to do. But while before the president asked them to do their work, he asked for some preliminary seizure in the activities. Am I correct? So that they can do their work.
Suspension of
the contract, which was good. Now, KPMG has submitted their report to the president. So that the presidency has then issued a statement. They issued a statement yesterday, and I just going to read the first two paragraphs of the statement, which gives the context by which the president is coming. Then when we finish with tech and social media trends, we'll go into the findings and recommendations. But I just want everybody to be on the same level. So for immediate release, President Akufo-Addo acts on KPMG findings and recommendations on the transaction between GRA and SML. So it says the President of the Republic, Nana Akufo-Addo, on Wednesday, 27th March 2024, received the final report of the audit conducted by KPMG regarding the transactions between the GRA and SML. The President has acted on the findings and recommendations of KPMG and has, by the letter dated Thursday, April 18, given directives to the Ministry of Finance and the GRA. Maybe let me do the findings quickly. We have 4 minutes. KPMG made the following findings, and this is based on the letter the presidency has signed. One, no technical assessment was done prior to the engagement of SML. However, such an assessment was not legally required for engaging SML. After SML was engaged, a Chamber of Bulk Oil Distributors Industry report, a 2023 EY audit report commissioned by GRA, and a report by the Revenue Assurance and Compliance Enforcement of the Ministry of Finance all found that there might be under-reporting, under-declaration, and potential revenue leakages. That's point one. Point two, on three occasions between June 2017 and September 2017, GRA sought approval from the PPA to use a single-source procurement method to engage SML to provide transaction audit services. PPA did not grant approval. Subsequently, GRA engaged SML as a subcontractor to Westblue, which was already providing services to GRA at the port. SML eventually took over the services provided by Westblue when the latter's contract came to an end on 31st December 2018. GRA then added external price verification to the services offered by SML and signed a downstream petroleum audit agreement with SML. All these were done without PPA approval. Following a change of leadership at GRA, the new leadership sought to regularize the contract with SML, and on August 27, 2020, PPA ratified the procurement processes used to engage SML. In 2023, the Ministry of Finance, GRA and SML entered into a revenue assurance services contract. The contract extended the scope of SML services to include upstream petroleum and minerals audit. PPA approval was obtained for this contract, which is now the governing agreement for the services offered by SML to GRA. Another issue raised by the KPMG is the absence of parliamentary approval for the contracts, given that they are multi-year contracts under Section 33 of the Public Financial Management Act 2016, Act 921. Such contracts must have ministerial and parliamentary approval. KPMG also found that there was no evidence that the 2018 and 2019 contracts were submitted to the GRA board for discussion and approval, contrary to the GRA Act, Corporate Governance Manual for Governing Boards and Councils of Public Services, and sound and accepted corporate governance practices. The GRA board approved the extension of SML services to cover the auditing of upstream petroleum and mineral sectors as specified in the 2023 contract. So this is point number two. Point number three, regarding the transactions audit services, KPMG concluded that SML partially delivered on the service requirements. However, given the observation made during the investigations, GRA may not have obtained all the expected benefits from the service. This is also partly due to GRA's lack of instituting monitoring and evaluation processes to assess the performance of the service and hold its personnel and SML accountable for non-performance. So that's point number three. Number four, regarding the external price verification service, KPMG concluded that SML delivered partially, again, on the service requirements. So you notice there are different services. There's transaction audit service, external price verification service, which were all added services that they were to provide. So this one is saying that SML delivered partially on the service requirements, and that given the observations made during the investigation, GRA may not have obtained all the expected benefits from the service. It was noted that ICUMS has inbuilt capabilities of external price verification, among other functions. You know ICUMS, you know the history of all these things. Five, regarding the downstream petroleum audit service, KPMG determined that there was an incremental volume of 1.7 billion liters and an incremental tax revenue of 2.45 billion for the period under review. There were also qualitative benefits, including a 24/7 electronic real-time monitoring of the outflow and partial monitoring of inflows of petroleum products at depots where SNL installed flow meters. This serves as a deterrent for under-declarations. Other qualitative benefits include 6 levels of reconciliation done by SNL to prevent revenue loss to GRA and the sharing of discrepancy reports with GRA to follow up. There's 3 more. Let me run through quickly. 6. SNL had not yet implemented the upstream petroleum audit and minerals audit service, and therefore there could be no assessment as to whether GRA could derive value or benefit from the service. KPMG noted, however, that those are areas that could have significant revenue leakage and thus suggested, among other things, that a comprehensive needs assessment be conducted to establish a need for those services before they actually go and provide it, if they would. Point number 7. The pricing model used in the contracts was based on a variable fee structure. During its investigation, KPMG noted that said transaction monitoring services are usually priced using a fixed fee pricing model. 8. The total fees paid under the contract from 2018 to date of suspension amounted to 1,061,554,778. Right? So a little less than 1.1 billion. No fee has been paid for the upstream petroleum audit and mineral audit because that hasn't been done. But the fee for the work done so far, 1 billion cedis. The total fees estimated to be paid to SML under the 2023 contract for 5 years is 5.173 billion cedis, which averages about 1 billion cedis a year. Okay. They made 5 recommendations. We will do the recommendations when we come back. But I hope we have simplified the findings. And then we'll now come to the context of this, where this leaves OSP, for example. The CSOs are asking for the full report to be released. Whether the president's actions on the recommendations are enough to dispel doubt about the cleanness of the report. What can be done about the findings that were adverse? Because some findings were adverse. For example, the issue of procurement method used and that type of thing. All of that and more coming up. It's 8:01 on the City Breakfast Show. If you're in a hurry, the full recommendations, conclusions, and actions are on our website, citynewsroom.com. You can go there and be reading for yourself. But in the meantime, Tech and Social Media Trends is next. Brought to us by FBN Bank.
FBN Bank says first things first. The letter A always comes before B, and B always comes way before the letter N. That's why at FBN Bank, our goal is to put you, our cherished customer, first. We offer our financial services, which are gold standard of value and excellence. Our products and services have been designed just for you. And so when you think of a bank that cares and puts its customers first, put the B before the N, think FBN Bank, FBN Bank, you first.
So let's find out what's trending. Nathan, take it up.
Well, let's start off with where you ended. So KPMG is in the trends. KPMG is in the trends. They, of course, worked on the... they provided a report to the president. And the conversation around this... So several people are asking the president to release the full report that was given to him by KPMG just so we can have a proper understanding of what exactly is going on. And there are several news stories. For example, Martin Pebu, he's saying that we should bin the KPMG report. And that is just a whitewash. This is on citynewsroom.com. And several people are also commenting on this latest development. So that's why KPMG is in the trends. Staying with politics, hashtag John and Jane 2024 is also in the trends. This was from yesterday as the NDC officially unveiled Professor Jane Nana Opoku-Agyeman as John Mahama's running mate. So that was the hashtag that went with that particular event. On the sporting side of things, a number of hashtags trending. MUN, hashtag MUNSHU trending because of the Man United Sheffield game. Arne Slot, the final manager who is said to be the leader in the race to become Klopp's successor at Liverpool.
The Klopp thing has just it has killed my view.
Yeah, that one is also trending. Sorry, okay. The name Bruno Fernandes is trending.
Don't tell me, sorry. Give me money.
And all of that. Finally, in the trends, the name Sewa Amihia is trending. If you remember, a few weeks ago, Sky, you were even educating us. So you mentioned that a complaint or a report had been filed at the police station concerning a video, an intimate video that was making the round. So broadcast journalist or presenter Sewa Amihie, she 9 hours ago put out a statement commenting on the said video. She said the said video was made 5 years ago, and she's apologizing to her fans and followers, those who held her in high esteem, that she aired, and that but 5 years
is the,
ago.
Is the guy, is the case still on?
Yes, it is still happening.
The police
have, yes, I think the police have arrested a few people. There's one who is at large as
one day you need to do a master class on this whole digital media privacy.
Yeah.
Because I think people don't know the implications of some things.
Yeah.
So you need to take your time and explain it to us on a day that you I'll give you.
Okay. Let's do some tech news quickly. Now, remember a few weeks ago I talked about the US Senate wanting to ban TikTok. TikTok now is fighting back. They say they will go to court. Mm-hmm. They've promised a court case over a new law that threatens to ban it.
Where would the court be? In the US?
Hopefully now, the US Supreme Court will uphold the right to own property.
the apps bosses are saying that, look, they feel the Americans just want to worry them. Now, the TikTok executive CEO Su Zichu says, quote, rest assured, we are not going anywhere. The facts and the constitution are on our side, and we expect to prevail again, end quote. Now, the statement by the company added, quote, this unconstitutional law is a TikTok ban and we will challenge it in court. Now, why is the U.S. doing this? Now, they believe that TikTok, which is owned by a Chinese company called ByteDance, will be harvesting effectively user data, and then, you know, they will use it for their own nefarious purposes.
What
so
do they use our Facebook data for? These people are always suspicious of each other. You know, we are sitting here, Facebook Day, and all these other ones we sign on to. Do we know how they use our data?
So they are saying that they believe the Chinese government will strong arm ByteDance into handing over US user data. So Charlie, that's the thing.
It's economic war.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation. The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
Be a wood team will be a woman, Quadia, Mawa Bemumu, in Suabaton, in Suanetia, if you ever want to Bensu, say you ask a crab a poke, who see a four be you a man, Kedian Ponsin, a meat one and muscle, Mawa Kumentu, Usua Usu and Rawa would ye and a wolf munina, a poro was so, and was a pantia would Yakuma, the young couple with whom Mabrok has yet the man and man. O Christo ne hunto ne dia wada wana wa to me puno matamfo ni memra minye ni daso wa so me sa ni mitwapo kokko we nyame kwanso se se nyame wa daso ti ase dia we ni da hwanso tete botan wa ye bi pen wa daso jina ne naso enfo we ni ntu yase wo nyankopon ne ti ase o didi ni be hwase mpredi asan we ni be gwase ni pa besere una wo nya hwetwa na ye twase ni ni ne mu wubu nkoto dia ka se nyame me dase Senior Cassia to me, but dead in Tino, and such a baby, but also Kai, baby, I will feel. Yachida would do see me be feeling, and so we're down with Tino. The Pompire will serve a couple dear with Yesu Dimo, or pretty big Pompe.
So I know the Babana Mawaba Mumu. Tina Pindina Mawakumen. There were the new Hutunan, so I didn't know the Guano. So I know the Babana Mawaba Mumu. Tina Pindina Mawakumen.
You've been looking for someone to take your sorrows all away. One to hold you tight and say, everything's gonna be okay. Kai Sambra will bring you now. Wamani Huna will name ya. And yet the nights will be dry. Hold on to your faith. Will be a brighter day.
Time check is 12 minutes past 8. A quick background. President Akufo-Addo ordered an immediate suspension of the contract between Ministry of Finance, the GRA, and Strategic Mobilization Ghana, SML. The company contracted to undertake revenue assurance services in the downstream and upstream petroleum sector and the mining sector. The president also directed audit firm KPMG to investigate the services SML rendered to GRA and they submit its report in 2 weeks. So this was in January. The president also directed the Ministry of Finance and the GRA to suspend the performance contract pending the submission of the audit report, including any payments presently envisaged under its terms. KPMG was directed to assess, and Sky, listen to this, these are some of the terms of reference, to assess the appropriateness of the contract methodology
verify compliance with legal standards and industry practices in the procurement processes for the selection of SML.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let me repeat this. KPMG was directed to assess the appropriateness of the contract methodology, verifying compliance with legal standards and industry practices in the procurement processes for the selection, the word is selection, of SML. The president also tasked KPMG to, among other things, evaluate the value benefits that SML has so far offered to the GRE through the engagement. All this was in response to the Fourth Estate's investigation of how SML, of how GRE and the Ministry of Finance signed a deal with SML, the downstream petroleum sector, which ended up, based on the estimation, 24 million cedis a month. Now, they also revealed in their story that SML had been awarded an expanded consolidated contract worth nearly $100 million a year, which has been proved to be correct because it's $1 billion or $5 billion for the 5 years. So the KPMG found that. So
they've paid them some 1 billion Ghana cedis. As to whether it is divided into a year or not, we don't know.
No, the KPMG concluded that the contract is worth $1 billion a year.
What has been paid?
Yes. Mm. So my point is that I'm just giving you the background. The people said they've signed a deal without going to the right procurement, and the deal, they signed an expanded deal worth $100 million. Using the exchange rate, that's about correct. All right. And then there was a story about how much they had saved Ghana, which the Fourth Estate disputed. So that's background one. Background two, the Fourth Estate then petitions the OSP to investigate the matter, which OSP said they had done a preliminary investigation, but they had not finished. Then within the same period, the president asked KPMG to do an audit and submit a report in 2 weeks. KPMG did submit the report in March, so which took more than 2 weeks. But then the president has acted on the recommendations. So now let me read the recommendations. I've read the findings already. Let me read the recommendations and what the president has done. Then we can tackle specific questions around... I think there are about four questions here. The question of, so OSP versus KPMG, which option was better? That's point one. Point two, the terms of reference of the president, the nature of what the president asked them to find. Would it serve the public interest if the report is fully released? Because what we have is the president summarizing the findings and recommendations and acting on them. So that's point number two. Number three, CSOs are challenging that they will offer alternative ways of evaluating the benefits of the contract. So essentially saying that they can do some of the things KPMG has done and come to a different conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And then number four, whether the adverse findings mean anything because some of the people who are involved are no longer there. So I think those are the four questions. Let me just read the recommendations. KPMG made the following recommendations. The government, acting through the MOF and GRE, may terminate the contract with or without cause upon giving 120 days written notice before the effective date of termination stated in the termination notice. Upon termination, the government may be liable to pay SML for services already completed but not yet paid, and the government will not be entitled to a refund or any compensation already paid to SML regardless of the termination cost. So this is the first recommendation. May terminate. B, in the event of termination without cause, if they choose that route, the government becomes liable to pay SML a return on investment equivalent to the fair value of SML's investment in respective contracts. Now, the total investment value in the contracts for the transaction audit and external price verification service and downstream petroleum audit service amount to 44 million cedis and some coins. The total investment value in the contract for upstream petroleum audit and minerals audit service amount to $44 million. So let's take it one by one. So there's a number of specific things. The total investment value in the contract for transaction audit and external price verification service and downstream petroleum audit service. So those are two specific services, $44 million.
Mm-hmm.
Total investment value in the contract for the upstream petroleum audit and mineral audit service amount to $133 million. Total investment value for all services provided by SML to GRE amount to, so they add the two, the 133 plus 41 plus 44. So the total investment value for all services provided by SML to GRE,
$177.5
million.
Mm.
KPMG noted that SML did not provide supporting documents or relevant information to verify the investment it has made.
Mm-hmm, that's problematic.
GRE must verify the investment if any of the services provided under this contracts are terminated. So make an asterisk there. C. The upstream petroleum and minerals audit, which has not yet been done, I need to say, I'm putting that down, could be a major source of revenue for the state. And if there are leakages, the impact could be significant. Therefore, KPMG recommended reviewing these services by conducting a comprehensive needs assessment and engaging stakeholders with diverse interests in respective sectors. Maybe that could include the CSOs. Furthermore, KPMG recommended the need for a value for money assessment in the contract performance process. Any contract for the provision of these services should comply with Section 30 of the PFMA. Mm-hmm. That's clear enough. D. For the transaction audit, external price verification and downstream petroleum audit services, which have been provided, this is me putting it in brackets, KPMG recommended that since SML has been providing that service for over 4 years, it has gained experience and become more proficient. KPMG thus recommended renegotiating the price levels, including shifting from a variable to a fixed fee structure. Yeah. Right? So continue by renegotiate. Don't use the same terms. E. Monitoring and evaluation of the services offered by SML should be done periodically in the contract. Also, there should be the incorporation of needs assessment into public procurement practice, generic. Mm. Yep. So let me summarize the five again. They are saying, number one, the government may terminate the contract with or without cost. Now, if you choose to go without cost, you will pay something called return on investment equivalent to fair value of the investment in the contract. Based on what we know, the total investment value is $177 million. But KPMG is saying that SMO did not provide supporting documents or relevant information to verify that amount. So that's an interesting loophole that can be explored or exploited. Then, of course, the upstream sector audit has not yet been done. KPMG is saying that do a comprehensive review of whether we need to do that so that if you're going to do it, you do it in a way that will be beneficial to all of us. So you may or may not do it, right? Then point four, because they've done transaction audit, external price verification, and downstream petroleum audit, they can continue. But if they are going to continue, renegotiate the price level and basically renegotiate the terms, all right? And then lock into the contract what is called monitoring evaluation. Now let's come to what the president's conclusion and his own action is. So the president gave you the findings, he gave the recommendations, and then he's now going to give you the action. Now, before I go, the sky, you notice that the findings are more than the recommendations. So the findings were nine, right? The findings were nine, the recommendations were five.
Yeah.
And then let me go back, before I come to the action, let me go back to the mandate, the what the president asked them to do. Because I think therein brings you the reason why the findings are more than recommendations. Because the president wanted them to check about three things. All right. Before then so one, president directed KPMG to investigate the services SML renders to GRE and submit a report.
You can't direct, you can't. You ask them to.
No, ask direct. Them to, yes. Now, the president directed Ministry of Finance and GRE to suspend the performance contract pending the submission of the audit report. So that one they can direct, including any payments presently envisaged. Yeah. Now, KPMG was asked, based on what you are saying, to, so here's the first one, assess the appropriateness of the contract methodology, comma, verifying compliance with legal standards and industry practices in the procurement processes for the selection of SML. End of quote. So that's point one.
Yeah.
Taken together. Two, KPMG was to, among others, evaluate the value benefit that SML has so far offered to the GRA through the engagement. Right? Now, because I haven't seen the full communication here with me, I suspect there are more. I'm sure the president would have asked them to recommend what should be done going forward, which is a logical flow, whether the contract should continue or not. All right, because that's what KPMG recommended. So you notice that there are two parts in this. How the contract was agreed and whether the thing has brought us value. So when you come to the nine findings, you can group the findings into those two broad areas. The findings around the procurement process and then the findings around the value of the contract. I'm trying to make it easy for people to understand how to follow this. So if you look at the findings, finding one, no technical assessment was done prior to engagement of SML. This is about whether the process used in getting them was fair. Number two, GRA sought approval for PPA. PPA did not grant approval for the contract. The work was already done by West Blue. When West Blue's work, so they made SML a subcontractor. When West Blue's work finished, they made SML continue. Then SML signed an expanded contract to then include upstream. So initially it was downstream, revenue assurance, and then these verifications. And then they expanded the contract. And then KPN also found that they didn't go through parliament, and they also did not satisfy the PFMA, Public Financial Management Act. Do you get it? Mm-hmm. And then they also said that there was no evidence that the contract was submitted to the GRA board for discussion and approval.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the GRA Act, corporate governance manuals for councils of public services, and sound and accepted corporate governance practice everywhere recommends this. So the board did not see this. Parliament did not see this. PPA did not approve this. But they found a way of getting it to go through. So you can say that, I'm just giving highlights, you can say that on the procurement side, their findings are clear.
Mm-hmm.
But they did not make a recommendation about the procurement side. The recommendation was around the value for money. Yeah, which is why the findings are more than recommendations.
Yeah, and also because the report itself says that at some point those procurement processes were regularized in 2020 by the procurement authority.
Wonderful.
Yeah, after the fact.
So when you now come to point three in the findings, you now deal with the whether they have delivered.
Yes.
So point three, SML partially delivered on service requirements on transaction audit service. So it's important for listeners to understand the specific things they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Transaction audit, partially delivered. But then they said GRA may not have obtained all the expected benefit due to their own lack of institutional monitoring evaluation process.
Mm-hmm.
Then external price verification. So let's make it easy. Transaction audit. Basically, you have a transaction between two parties. You audit a transaction to make sure it is fair, whether they are using arm's length or they are using internal transfer pricing. External price verification, again, these are contracts for either oil or... So maybe somebody produces gold and tells you that this is the amount of gold I produced, but then he is selling the gold to his partner in UAE at a separate price, so you can verify whether they are giving you the same numbers, that type of thing. So they call external price verification. KPMG concluded that SML delivered partially on the service requirement, and that given the observation made during the investigation, again, GRA may not have obtained all the expected benefits. So a very similar line they use here. And then they come to downstream audit service. Again, petroleum is upstream and downstream. Upstream is the big oil companies drilling.
Mm-hmm.
Downstream is what the OMCs do and that type of thing. KPMG determined that there was an incremental value. So this is the contentious one for the CSOs. The report is saying that we had both qualitative and quantitative benefit from the downstream petroleum audit, right? And they're saying there was a 1.7 billion liters and an increased tax of 2.4 billion for the period.
CDs.
2.4 billion CDs.
Yeah.
That's the increased tax revenue. But they are paying people 1 billion. So don't forget that. But the period, 2 billion CDs, 2.4 billion. There was also qualitative benefit. So electronic real-time monitoring and that type of thing. And then the key point is point number six. They were yet to implement the upstream, which was a new contract. And therefore, you can't assess it. All right? And then the pricing model used in the contracts was based on variable fee structure. I guess this is how much you pay the people. And they are saying there should be a fixed structure. Because again, you are paying somebody 1 billion a year. Your increased revenue was 2.4 billion. So how much of the money is coming back to you? Right? The total fees paid has been 1 billion. And for the next 5 years, 1 billion a year, 5 billion. So you can, again, if you had read the full report in terms of, I don't know what method. So KPMG also has a couple of questions to answer in terms of, if you look at just on the surface of it, you say we pay somebody 1 billion a year for work done. And you are saying that we have partial benefit in the first two. If they had added a financial number, Sky, you follow me?
Yeah.
So transaction audit, if they had given us a number in terms of money we saved, external price verification, giving us a number, then we can add that to the 2.4 billion for the downstream revenue, then we can say total we earn 10 billion. So if you pay the poor a billion, it makes sense. But for now, the only numbers we've seen is 2.4 billion.
Yeah.
And yet you are paying a pool a billion a year. So on the surface, I say, ah.
Not a billion a year. Is that what it says?
It is clear. It's there. It's there. It says the total fees paid under the contract from 2018 to the date of suspension amount to a billion.
Yeah, so it's not a billion a year. Okay.
The total fees estimated to be paid under the 2020 contract for 5 years is 5 billion, which averages to a billion a year. I'm not the one saying it is there.
Okay.
Point number nine.
Point number nine.
So the average amount you pay the people is a billion CDs a year.
But it's a billion that has been paid.
Let me read English again. Mm-hmm. The total fees paid under the contract from 2018 to date amount to 1 billion.
Okay.
No fee has been paid for the upstream petroleum audit and minerals audit because no work has been done. Two or nine. The total fees estimated to be paid under the 2023 contract. Mind you, the contract started last year.
Last year.
For the 5 years is 5 billion, which averages a billion a year. So my point is that. You have paid the people a billion.
All right. Likely to pay
now. Billion each. Don't forget the contract was 2018. So you paid the people a billion so far. And it's a 5 year contract. So you are going to pay them a billion a year. Do you get my point? And yet you say they've saved us 2.45 billion in the downstream sector. So my point is that if we've saved that 2.45 billion.
And we've spent a billion.
That's why we need to. So my argument is that KPMG could have also added a number to the other benefits under point four and five. So you can have a total because there are specific things being done.
Yeah, but let's be minded that this is the president's account of what KPMG did. Yes. If we had seen the report from KPMG, then perhaps we would have known that it is there or not there. You understand? So the president may well be selective in terms of what he's putting out in the public domain. So this is the president's subjective view, and I'm using the word subjective advisedly, of what the KPMG has done. So even if we want to take KPMG on, we should be a bit measured because we don't know what they told the president. The president is telling us what he received, which may well be self-serving.
But if you listen to the flow of the language, KPMG made the following findings. So and they made nine. They didn't say among others. So if you read the president's language, he's saying they made the following. So it means that these are the nine findings.
Yeah, but
they didn't say that KPMG made the following key findings. Yeah. But then you can say there was a difference between the main.
Yeah, but
my point is that the language of the presidency suggests that these are the findings.
You see, that's the difficulty because we don't know whether they are quoting
or they are paraphrasing.
Exactly. So it may be self-serving because they want certain things to be in the public domain. They don't want certain things in the public domain.
But would that not be bad fit to KPMG on the president's side? Because if I've given you a report with findings, I'm expecting that you will present what I found fairly
true to it.
You get me? So, and I'm sure, or I hope, no, I'm sure, if the president has put out what is not reflective of what they found, there should be something in the contract that will allow them to ventilate that.
So, again, we've not seen the contract.
That's another problem.
So that's another problem. Of course, when someone contracts you to do a work for the person decides ultimately what should happen to the outcomes. Of course, there are specific, you know, terms and conditions you can insert into the contract that on this particular matter, I may, you know, without recourse to you, do A, B, and C. We don't know the contract. We don't know what is there. So generally, as a general rule, you are answerable to the person who gives you the contract, the work.
But if the work is in the public interest and perhaps funded by taxpayers' money,
can we not demand for the work?
So we, the people of Ghana, now have to demand from the president that, look, we have reasons to believe that you have left out certain key things that may well have been said to you. So release the report to the people of Ghana, which is good governance practice. Is that how you say it?
So you're saying the onus is more on the person who sent the work, not the person who did the work.
Yeah, that's right. Because in that case, if the contract says you cannot release it to anybody, and you release it, you have breached the contract, and the government of Ghana is entitled to sue you.
But does I get your point around the onus because this is a public interest matter. But KPMG is an international audit firm. They will also be feeling a bit funny because, for example, some CSOs have come out to say that they are challenging the basis for KPMG's even claiming that there was a 2.45 billion revenue or 1.7 billion volume increase. And they are saying that there are different models that can prove otherwise. So it would have been good for the president or somebody to put out the KPMG methodology. Okay, so that if, for example, Bryce Simmons and Co. say, we feel like this 1.7 billion is too high, they should also come and then prove their numbers. But now we've put the KPMG number out without knowing what method they used. And now Bryce Simmons and Co. also saying that there are different CSOs who are offering to do the assessment and come at a possible different conclusion.
Yes, yeah. Bernard.
So it leaves Cape Change in a very difficult position because they can't come out and say they are defending their work because uh-huh. they did their work for the president. Uh-huh. But they did their work knowing that it was a matter of public interest.
Okay,
so when you agree to do such a work, mm-hmm. you should know that you will be scrutinized by the public and not just the president.
Okay, so let me put it this way. I think it is the president who is putting KPMG in a difficult position. The president, when he was asked about corruption in 2012, if my memory serves me correctly, when he was running for president at that debate, he said that he was going to use the Anas principle because he was not coming into public office to make money for himself or his cronies. He made that clear. And when he nominated his first set of ministers, he told them that, look, if it is money that you are coming to make in public office, then don't come and serve in government. I don't want you to come and serve if the purpose for coming to serve is making money. He made that clear. Now, this particular investigation, which was released by Fourth Estate, and then also the Herald newspaper, remember, they also published Herald, a story on it the very same day that, Manasseh went out public with it. And they also raised similar issues about possible corruption mm-hmm. and billions being funneled into all kinds of funny schemes. Now, the president's response was to cause KPMG to investigate this matter.
Mm-hmm. To audit.
To audit, which is also an investigation in a sense. Mm-hmm. Of course, Manasseh and his team petitioned the
OSP
to look at the criminal implications of what they have found and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the president really wants his name to be written in gold, he should not be hiding the report.
Mm.
He should write his views on the report, attach it to the report, and release it to the good people of Ghana. So that the people of Ghana would determine for themselves whether something untoward has been done or not.
Mm.
Because the impression is created that, the minister at the time happens to be a close relation of the president. Now, there are those in government who say, hey, the president didn't know anything about this until he came out. But you are not coming to come and explain that to anybody. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be regarded as being fair, transparent, mm-hmm. and clean on the subject matter, mm-hmm. release the full details of the findings to the people of Ghana and let them decide for themselves whether something wrong has been done or not.
Mm.
Thus far, releasing this third statement, telling us what appears to be a self-serving, version of what basically has been found by KPMG, it's not good. And as Bernard is pointing out, it puts KPMG in a very difficult position. Because you have gone to sign an agreement with someone to do some work for the person. The person has gone to put out aspects of what you have found. People are now attacking, and I think that is unfair. They are now attacking KPMG without knowing exactly what KPMG, because what we are dealing with is a reported
finding.
Exactly. So if anything at all, I think the heat should be on the president. And Bernard, mm-hmm. the Right to Information Act, which Parliament passed,
mm-hmm.
empowers citizens to make demands like this mm-hmm. on institutions of state, including the president.
Mm-hmm.
This work that was done by KPMG was paid for by the taxpayer. The president didn't use his private money to do it. So the right thing to do is for a citizen of this country, including Bernard, you, those of us sitting here, or even the station, or Article 2, to say that, Mr. President, you use our tax city for this, the resources involved concern us, and we are demanding or requesting on the basis of the Right to Information Act that you make the report available. Of course. I note that there are some grounds upon which there will be derogation. So there are areas that they will say, national security, so this report, we are not putting it out. There are some reasons that can be advanced by an institution of state to refuse your information, even when you request for the information. We want to know whether those grounds are active in this particular matter, for which reason the president decided not to release the full details of the report. And that is problematic. Bernard, now, if you go to the findings of the report.
Based on what
the president has put out, because I've not seen the full report.
Yes, the nine that has been put out.
So the first one is a lack of initial technical assessment.
Mm-hmm. Is that significant?
No, I just distilled that from. It's significant. Significant. Because before you go into doing something, you must know what exactly the problem is.
Exactly.
And why we need to expend the public purse, you know, money from the public purse on that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we were not told that, oh, there was this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And based on the assessment we have done, we'll be able to get A, B, C, D or block A, B, C, D if we engage these people to do the work. So that was not done. That's one adverse finding that was made. So no technical needs assessment was done or conducted before engaging SML, although this was not legally required according to the president's account of what the KPMG said. It suggests a lack of due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
Because before you engage someone to do some work, you must do due diligence and know that this is the problem I'm trying to cure. So that at the end of the day, when the work is done, you measure the outcome against what was originally the problem.
Okay, so prior to its engagement, did SML have any expertise in the area they were contracting?
According
to
the Herald story, they were in, you know, timber merchant, whatever. Yeah. Somehow they just transmogrified into an IT.
So it means that there's a lack of expertise on their side.
That's
too,
an issue.
Besides the procurement
issue.
That's
an issue. That may well be why the PPA refused initial request to grant, you know, sole sourcing. Because sole sourcing, one of the key reasons for granting sole sourcing is that the person has exclusive expertise in a particular space.
The PPA is looking strong, at least based on its initial,
you know, rejection.
But then they subsequently rectified it. So that
was done after the fact.
Now, there's also the other point, adverse finding is procurement violations.
Mm.
Now, the GRA, as we've been told, sought approval from the Public Procurement Authority 3 times to use a single source procurement method to engage SML, and this was declined each time. Now, despite this, GRA proceeded to engage SML through West Blue as a subcontractor and later directly, all without PPA approval. Now, this was later regularized by the PPA in 2020. Now, it would seem to me, but if you look at our procurement laws, people are in the wrong here, at least on the facts as the president has put out. The reason is that we remember a certain Charlotte Osei, right, who was running the Electoral Commission. The reason she was removed from office, one of the key reasons or the central issue was around procurement.
Mm-hmm.
And the argument was made that under her tenure, things were done to procure things without recourse to lay down procedure under the Procurement Act and related, you know, regulations.
Mm.
And so she was thrown out of office. You would also remember that under the tenure of Vivian Lamte, who then was running Shiraj, there were issues about how she, there was a, an official resident who was supposed to be under repairs. You know, she left and was living in a hotel somewhere, and so much money was spent under questionable circumstances in a way that undermined procurement issues and all of that. She was removed from office on the basis of that. Shrag boss. You understand? As we speak, a PPA, a former PPA boss, is being prosecuted by the courts
for
procurement matters. So the question I ask is, it does not matter if you subsequently, what you call it, regularize. On the occasions that you engage the people without due process, I think the Attorney General should be telling us why it is not in the public interest to prosecute the individuals involved. Of course, prosecutorial discretion is exercised in a manner they believe is fair to the Republic and the people. I hope that they will come and explain why, on the basis of what the President is telling us, they do not intend
to
prosecute.
You notice that the President, in commenting on the recommendations of KPMG, they're not making a reference to the procurement breaches.
Exactly.
In fact, the recommendations or the president's decisions are purely based on the value for money and the value of the transaction. As I said, the 9 findings, the first 3 had to do with procurement.
Yeah.
And the rest had to do with value. It essentially ignores the procurement issues. As if to say, because there is some value derived from the work, procurement is no longer an issue, which I think is quite problematic. Because if the process leading to the contract and the basis for the contract is flawed, you can say that a lot of the work that they are doing, because you are, it's basically the foundation. The foundation of the work they've done is the propriety of the procurement and the ascertainment of the needs assessment. Right? If you haven't properly grounded yourself in a technical, what do you call it? The first point you made.
Feasibility study.
No, a technical needs assessment.
Oh, needs assessment, okay.
You have breached procurement laws, and yet you're saying you've given some value.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that value that you have not placed a number on, except the one to do with downstream revenue assurance.
Mm.
I think the president has jumped too quickly, because the mandate it gave to KPMG,
mm-hmm.
in fact, the first part was a procurement issue. Unless he was just looking for the procurement point as a perfunctory point.
Okay.
Do you understand? And I'm just buttressing what you're saying. Then to add to your point as well, the recommendations around continuing with the downstream audit is problematic, because you see, let's put it this way, the upstream audit has not been done.
Mm-hmm.
KPMG said, do a comprehensive technical needs assessment, value for money assessment, and stakeholder engagement before implementing the service.
Let's find out whether we need it in the first
now,
place.
If you think that should be done for upstream,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't done for downstream.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you're saying because the downstream provided some increase, allegedly,
mm-hmm.
in revenue of 2.4 billion, we should continue.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you haven't established the basis of a need for something,
that's right. Then
why are you accepting? Do you get my point?
I get it.
If the president believes that the downstream sector provided some value, then they should continue and do the upstream too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get me? But once you're saying, I agree with KPMG, do a comprehensive technical needs assessment, then implicit in that is that KPMG is impugning the contract people for not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
point number two. Mm-hmm. Then the issue, there are two things he does which we agree. They are saying that the transaction audit and external price verification be terminated.
Mm-hmm.
Because GRA obtained partial value,
mm-hmm.
the GRA did not have a monitoring to ensure that SML performed the service, and that GRA had already introduced external price verification as part of the incomes. Mm-hmm. So it was a redundant service.
Mm.
To a large extent, or to some extent.
Now, you're saying it should be terminated, but who should pay the price for what has already been paid for?
Mm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So let's take it one by one. You say upstream there, we should do a complete needs assessment before we get there. We agree. Then technical audit and external price verification should be terminated. If you use the word may, you should, may. And then you are saying that because ICUMS is already doing it. So how come you're saying that they gave us value? Where is the value coming from? Why is there no money? All right. Mm-hmm. Then, so point three is the most contentious point.
Yeah, let me actually deal with that particular point having to do with the breach of the public procurement, What's the name of the act?
PFMA.
PFMA.
Public Financial Management Act.
Yeah. So the if you go to Section 33 of the Act, for the purposes of explaining what exactly the position is, it deals with multi-year expenditure commitments. Mm-hmm. And with your permission, Bernard, let me read.
Yes.
Section, subsection 1 says, a covered entity shall not enter into any agreement
mm-hmm.
in a financial commitment, with a financial commitment that binds the government for more than one financial year or that results in a contingent liability, except where the financial commitment or the contingent liability, A,
mm-hmm.
is with the prior written approval of the minister.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and B, authorized by Parliament in accordance with Article 181 of the Constitution.
So not minister alone. Yeah, maybe the minister writes.
Yeah, so two.
It must come with the parliamentary approval.
Yeah, so it is conjunctive. Two.
This is Section 33.
Yeah, 33.
PFMA Act 921.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Subsection 2 says, Parliament may,
mm-hmm.
in the annual budget, authorize a covered entity mm-hmm. to make a multi-year expenditure commitment. And where Parliament so authorizes, mm-hmm. the annual budget shall indicate the commitment approved for the financial year and the approved multi-year commitments.
Okay.
Three says, a multi-year expenditure commitment approved under subsection 2 shall be consistent, Bernard, with the objectives of the physical strategy document. And four says, the minister shall, in accordance with section 25, submit to Parliament a report on the performance of the multi-year expenditure commitments made for each financial year. So it is
the parliament must be told that, oh, we said we were going to do this. This is the reason we are doing it. Mm. And the parliament has to be reported to that these are the things we have gotten out of the commitments we have made with the public purse.
And none of this has been done.
It would seem. Now, finally, a principal spending officer may propose or commit to invest in a project only after expert assessment, Bernard. So an expert must tell us that, well, we need this or we do not need it. If we need it, we need it in this shape and form.
All right.
You understand? Has been completed and justification for the investment project and efficiency is established.
Wow.
Now, Bernard, if you go further into the act, there is punishment to be exacted.
Wow.
When you go against the provisions of this
Can you
act.
Read that for me?
Let me take you to section 98 of the act.
Mm.
Subsection 1 says, a person who, A, refuses or fails to produce or submit any information required under this act.
Mm-hmm.
B, issues a local purchase order outside the Ghana Integrated Financial Management Information System, which is GIFMIS, or any other electronic platform in use by government. C, misuses or permits the misuse of any government property, which results in a loss of public resources. D, contravenes or knowingly permits another person to contravene a provision of this act or the regulations. So that is the very, the D is a very strong one in our circumstances now. Contravenes or knowingly permits another person to contravene a provision of this act or the regulations, or E, instigates another person to contravene a provision of this act or regulations, commits an offense, and where no penalty is provided for the offense, is liable on summary conviction to a fine of not less than 150 penalty units and not more than 250 penalty units, or to a term of imprisonment of not less than 6 months and not more than 2 years.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think KPMG should have gone beyond pointing out the breach of Act 921 to also recommend, based on what you just read, those types of punishments?
Well, their job is essentially administrative.
Audit.
Yeah,
audit.
That's right.
Okay.
When it comes to alleged corruption,
then you move another.
The OSP is properly engaged, and they are currently investigating.
So can we say that the president chose, and this is me conjecturing, chose to focus on the technical parts of what KPMG did in terms of whether we had revenue increase, and therefore his five directives flow from those aspects of the report, and that he believes that maybe another body may be more competent in looking at the procurement issues, which in this case is the OSP, for which he may be waiting. I don't know, he could have probably said that in the letter. He did not. But my point is that he didn't say anything about the procurement breaches in the actions he wants to take.
That's problematic, especially when in his first term, he established an office or dedicated space in his office, a position of a minister of state responsible for procurement.
Yeah.
That position was occupied previously by Adjoa Safo. Because within the 8 years of the previous government,
they said procurement breach was the number one problem.
Exactly. So they had issues with it. And if you read many international reports, including those of the UN and some other major institutions internationally, public procurement is one of the biggest areas, easily the biggest area of fraud and corruption. People scheme, create all kinds of schemes, and then they loot, and then they share. Do you understand? So it is an established international fact.
All right.
So if adverse findings have been made about procurement, there is reasonable expectation that the Ghanaian has that the president will be acting on it. For some reason, the document that the presidency has released does not appear to engage that matter properly. And that
is problematic. Let's deal with the five actions of the president. I'll read two reactions quickly. So KPMG made the following... the president's directives, right? President has accepted the recommendations of KPMG and directed as follows. Again, KPMG made five recommendations, and the presidency said they've accepted them, but they just listed four. So there's a disconnect there, right? The KPMG made five recommendations. The presidency listed four.
Yeah.
So number one, the upstream audit
Petroleum Audit.
So the president has directed that the Ministry of NGRA conduct a comprehensive technical needs assessment, value for money assessment, and stakeholder engagement before implementing such services. I even have a problem with this. I don't think the Ministry of NGRA should be the one to do it, because they haven't. This audit should not be done by them. This needs assessment. Mm-hmm. Somebody else should do it, because they.
But they have to engage the person.
Yeah. You see, because they have already entered a contract.
Mm-hmm.
For the downstream one, transaction audit and external price, without a technical needs assessment.
Yeah.
Asking them to do it themselves for the upstream is not the best. You should probably say that an independent body
like
KPMG.
No, you see, so the question is, who is the covered entity here? The covered entity is the GRA, yeah, with the supervising ministry being the Ministry of Finance.
But this is what KPMG recommended. Uh-huh. KPMG recommended the need for a value for money assessment,
uh-huh,
in the upstream sector. Uh-huh. But then they qualified it. Uh-huh. All right. So let me just give you that. KPMG.
So perhaps the new minister, if he wants to be away from trouble, would have to, you know, give the appropriate directives and engage a professional institution to carry out that needs assessment.
So let me read what he said.
Mm-hmm.
The upstream sector, this is KPMG's recommendation, the upstream petroleum sector and minerals audit could be a major source of revenue for the state. And if there are leakages, the impact could be significant. Therefore, KPMG recommended reviewing these services by conducting a comprehensive needs assessment and engaging stakeholders with diverse interests,
mm-hmm,
in their respective sectors. Mm-hmm. So they have a very broad view of the assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, they recommend the need for a value for money assessment in the contract performance process. Any contract for the provision of this service should be complied with Section 30 of PFMA. So my point is, the president now saying that the Ministry and GRE should conduct the technical assessment is narrower than what the KPMG people are recommending. Because KPMG, read their language very carefully, they want a comprehensive needs assessment and engaging stakeholders with diverse interests in their respective sectors.
I believe the president's view can be carried out, factoring in the need for diversity.
I don't think the Ministry and GRE should do that. Somebody else should supervise it, because they've shown bad faith by not doing that before the first round. So they are determined to do the contract. So you can't ask the same person who is determined to implement a contract to come and do a needs assessment. He already has an interest. Do you understand? So if you can't, this is just common sense. Somebody has gone to do something without doing any assessment. He says he's not going to do it. He's going to do it in a way that will result in whatever outcome he wants to get. So I feel you can get like a crown agent or somebody to just pick that whatever.
But the covered entity must engage them.
Yes,
that's the issue.
No, I'm not saying they should be outside of it. Uh-huh. If somebody is doing an assessment, can't you get, for example, you want to do a project on whatever, you can bring some bodies in and they will engage you and talk to you to assess.
So you the person, so
you
say
you shouldn't initiate it.
So who would initiate it?
They can use an audit firm.
Yeah, but somebody must engage that audit firm.
Yes.
And so it is either the Ministry of Finance,
yes,
acting as the supervising ministry,
yes,
or the GRA. That would
I get your point.
Uh-huh.
The engagement is cool.
Uh-huh.
Then so that's the point around the technical needs assessment, mm-hmm, before this is done.
Mm-hmm.
Now the second thing the president accepts is that, or he says they should terminate the transaction audit and external price. I think it's very significant. And I think it got lost in the news reportage.
Mm-hmm.
Because the president is actually saying that. Mm-hmm. Because don't forget, there were three things. There's downstream petroleum audit service, transaction audit, and external price verification.
Mm-hmm.
He says they should terminate the two and continue with only one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do a new headline and say the president has said that the thing should continue, I don't think it's fair, because you see, there are four things.
Mm-hmm.
Upstream audit.
Mm-hmm.
That one, upstream audit, you say they should do a needs assessment,
mm-hmm,
before you do it, if you're going to do it. Transaction audit, you are saying ICUMS is already doing it,
mm-hmm,
so you can terminate the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Price verification, ICUMS is already doing it, you can terminate the contract. So the only thing that the president said should continue is the downstream revenue. Do you understand my point? So, mm-hmm, of the four things that they are supposed to do in the contract, mm-hmm, it's actually only saying they should continue one.
Yeah, in effect.
But if you read the flow of the reportage in the public domain, it suggests as if SMR has given a clean bill of health, which is not correct.
But you see, let's not be oblivious of the fact that there are so many interests at play here.
Mm.
The truth is that there are people in the petroleum downstream and the upstream space who are ripping us off.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
We have heard consistently in this country how dipsticks are used upstream to measure how much crude oil is being loaded onto a cargo ship to take away. Now, in the process, if the system is not properly calibrated, people can come and tell you that, well, we took 120,000 barrels, when in fact they took twice that number. So in order to give us assurance that how much actually oil, how much oil we are exporting, we need someone to be policing the process. So as for that, but we need it. The same way, how much fuel we are importing into this country through the jetties, and then they come, or, you know, onto the seashore and then discharge. We need someone to be verifying how much is coming out and how much we are making at the end of the day. Even in that space, people will tell you that there are people who are doing all kinds of nefarious things, stealing our money. And we have, in some cases, the stolen fuel being sent into other countries. So it is important that somebody polices the process. Now, the question is, who should do it?
That's a good question.
That is why it is important that we need to get to the bottom of this matter. The president has an obligation. At least the social contract he signed with the Ghanaian is that he will protect their interests at all times. Right? He will be transparent in his dealings as president of the republic. We are urging him that, consistent with that, he should release the full report so that we can see
what is there.
Yes, what exactly is in the report.
Now, let's get two reactions. Bryce Simmons has written about this as well, the people from the civil society side. Let's read, it's just a four paragraph statement, and then we read Manasseh's own reaction as well, and then we sort of end the discussion there. So let's get there.
Bernard, Bryce Simmons says, it is helpful that the president of Ghana accepts that infractions occurred in the award of the SML contracts that have so far netted the company more than 1 billion cedis. It was inevitable that the attempt to extend this same troubling arrangement to the mining and petroleum drilling sectors for an additional $100 million a year would not stand scrutiny, so the decision to halt that process was expected. As is also widely known, the pre-shipment inspection work SML took from West Blue and was being paid for was a duplication of assistance services. The president has finally come to that same conclusion.
Wonderful.
The presidency's white paper, quote unquote, also acknowledges that substantial work must be done to determine the country's needs before the award of any contracts for revenue assurance in the downstream fuel markets, especially the linkages between the wholesale depots and fuel retail outlets. And it is a no-brainer that if any company is to render any service in that area at all, then they must receive a fixed fee and not be paid percentages of taxes collected by the state, which was the case in the now suspended SML contract. However, we are seriously disappointed by a number of elements of the president's white paper. We insist on seeing the full KPMG report. 100%. We dispute the apparent claim that any increase in petroleum consumption in Ghana should be attributed to SML. We demand an open forum to show that the weight of expert opinion in Ghana is against any such flawed reasoning. Multiple petroleum economists are on standby to prove that no gains in consumption value can be attributed to SML's work. We also have tax specialists on standby to prove that no tax gains due to SML's work can be ascertained to have occurred. The needs assessment mentioned by the president must be concluded before SML or any other company receives a peso more of Ghana's money. Civil society activists in the energy sector have lined up a long list of specialists willing to support a value for money and needs assessments pro bono.
For free.
We are thus challenging the president to accept this patriotic offer. Not one peso more of Ghana's money should go to SML or any other company until such an open, transparent, rigorous, and meritocratic process has been completed. Bryce Simmons.
So that was Bryce Simmons, and I think it sort of captures some of the things you've said nicely. The issue around the procurement breaches, and then the acknowledgement of the fact that some of the work has already been done, so ICUMS, there's no need to continue some of those things that have been done. And then they disagree with the claim that there was an increase in petroleum consumption due to the work of, which is why we are all asking for the full report. And they are even saying they have experts who are willing to do both the value for money assessment, the needs assessment, and even to contest what KPMG put out. So we should have that done.
Yeah, ideally, one would have expected that in releasing this statement, and as I insist, the report together with it, he should have said, oh, you are forwarding the document to the Attorney General for review and appropriate action.
Thank you. So that would mean that the parts that you didn't mention...
Exactly, the Attorney General...
So that, there was nothing said. So yeah. that's why somebody would say it's a whitewash. Mm-hmm. Because if you have set glaring findings of procurement breaches in the first two paragraphs,
yes,
which there was nothing said about your action,
yeah,
are you saying that you are tacitly endorsed? Because if the foundation is destroyed, what can we do?
Right.
Now, the journalist who led the team from Fourth Estate to actually break this story also put out a statement. If you can read that for us.
Yeah, it's quite long. So
go to the very final...
Okay.
Final sentence.
SML2 has spoken.
Yes,
SML2. Okay, then we read SML2. Why not?
SML2.
No, but I want you to deal with the Manasseh one. Then, Caleb, you can deal with the SML1 if you have it.
Okay, all right. This is what I would do. I will pick portions and then we'll go through that. So, Manasseh says that the president had asked KPMG to conduct the audit after the Fourth Estate expose by Adradobia, Owusu, Evans, Aziamo, Mensa, and me. The KPMG report, as communicated by the president, confirms the issues raised in our investigations and even reveals more damning anomalies, including laws that the contracting parties breached with impunity. So he says, first, I commend the president for taking an interest in the matter and ordering an audit. I also commend the president for accepting KPMG's recommendation to cancel the upstream petroleum audit and the mining sector audit services by SML. The contractual fee to SML on the upstream and mining sector monitoring is worth about $90 million a year, based on the production figures in those sectors.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, our investigation exposed the scandal before the contract started, so Ghana has not lost a cent in this deal.
Mm-hmm.
It is curious, however, that in accepting KPMG's recommendation to cancel those services, the president repeated the words, quote, they may be terminated, end quote, which suggests that the Ministry of Finance has the option to keep the contracts, which the president's letter said breached several state laws and were signed without any needs assessment.
Exactly.
One can only hope that the current finance minister would act more wisely than his predecessor and swiftly clear those shady deals as recommended by KPMG and the president.
Wonderful.
Now, it goes on to provide the background of the scandal and all of that.
Can you direct that somebody may?
Okay.
You say somebody, it's, I think the language of the...
Yes. And it struck me when you were reading.
If you say,
it's awesome.
I am directing, you get it. A direction is not a suggestion.
Well,
so if you read, let me read this for you. It says, the president has accepted the recommendation of KPMG and directs as follows. Right? Now, you come to point B. The transactions, audit, and external price verification services may...
Yeah.
I feel like there's a prevarication there. Because if you say, I am directing you to do something,
yeah, but
I can't direct you that you may do it.
Well,
maybe
he's considering some other factors. Well, that may be,
the people have given you
that may be known to KPMG only the minister and GRA.
KPMG say, if you direct, if you terminate it using this, this is the route.
Yeah.
If you then, so they've given the two. So
but there are financial implications.
But KPMG stated it. So it's not like the president is knowing what we don't know. The man is saying he's directing. Mm-hmm. Then he's saying that they may.
Yes, may, yes. I'm sure there must be some reason.
Do you direct with a may?
Yes, I mean, you can do that in appropriate cases.
Oh, wow.
Then don't use the word direct. You're advising. Do you get it? But no, let's be clear. If you are directing somebody,
you may come.
Oh, no. Why didn't he say that the downstream petroleum service may continue?
There's some issue there.
It must not continue.
You are saying there's a clear need for downstream petroleum audit by SM. Now there's a clear need to continue.
I admit that.
Why are you saying that the KPMG investigation found that GRA had introduced external price verification tools out of incomes, among others? So this renders the reliance on SML for external price verification redundant. So direct them to cancel it. Don't say they may.
The only
or you say AG should look at the implications of cancelling.
That's the point I'm making. You see, based on the, I've not seen the fine detail, the fine print of the contract, but as KPMG, according to the president, points out, there are implications for termination.
But you said the reliance on SML for external price verification is redundant. So just direct them to cancel their deal.
Well, of course, what it means, it comes back to you, the president.
Yeah, but if KPMG has already told you what you will pay It's not as if it's, we know that we if know you that. And he said you can cancel it either summarily.
Wiring what? How much?
Sky, don't even. The KPMG was quite smart here. They said if you cancel it, they gave two possible actions. They say that
without cause and without
so it's not as if they you can decide which one to use. So talk to your lawyers to decide which one to use.
You see, so here,
but cancel nonetheless.
No, okay, so you see, let me try and see whether there's some rationale behind the use of may there. With and without cause.
Yeah.
With cause means that you have found something untoward with what the contract, the person you have contracted has done. So on the basis of that, you are standing and say, you did not
But we are saying that somebody's already providing that service. I'm talking about two specific services. Verification, transaction audit and external price verification. We are already saying that the reliance on SML for that is redundant.
So should it be with or without cause on the basis of that finding?
With cause, because
The cause is not. You see, it's not the fault of SML.
Yes,
you are the one who went to give them the work to do. When you already have somebody else doing
it,
so cancel it and pay them the what they have to do, so that we don't do double pay.
So it is without cause.
I don't know. Whatever he wants, he has to
direct. You see, that's why I'm saying that.
But he's doing. You know, you see, Sky. Let's not split us over this. You see, the language of the president also tells you his intentions.
Yeah,
so it's a very important point I'm making that if you say that the work of external price verification is redundant, you shouldn't. Your direction should be more
forceful,
firm. You don't leave it open, which is the point Manasseh is making in his letter. That why are you saying they may cancel the thing when you are saying that the need is redundant? Like you are paying for something that you don't need. So why are you saying they may cancel it?
They should consider the surrounding circumstances
but
and decide
the
appropriate.
But they told you the two routes, but they say you cancel.
I think the meat there is terminated.
Terminate it using the appropriate means.
Yes, that's so that's
all.
What it
but
is.
But didn't he say it?
So it may well be how the president's spokesperson communicated it.
But that's what he's paid to do, a communicator. I shouldn't be here. I mean, this is simple.
You know, there's one that is in court about communication.
Which one?
The one about ministers being relieved and all of that. It's all a question of language.
Yes.
So if you're not precise.
It's a very important point.
Yeah, I agree with
because
you
see, that communication they put out about the new ministers, somebody can even blame that partially for the delay in the approval because
it was not.
And we've had ministers removed for many times, and there's been no problem.
Exactly.
So the way they communicated the thing, it's like, we've sacked these people. We are bringing these
precision.
You know. Meanwhile, you take this choice to a lawyer. Let him. I don't know how they got that wrong. Anyway, finish there.
That's why it was important that the president ought to have asked. I don't know whether he did. The Attorney General, look at the findings of KPMG and act accordingly.
And advise us on
what to do.
Which approach of termination will be the least costly to the state.
Exactly. And then also, if you look at the act establishing the OSP, the Attorney General has the power to refer matters to that's right, in appropriate cases.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't know why.
And there was also no mention of what OSP is doing, which again for me is problematic because, Sky, you see, let's put everything as a whole. You set up an OSP because you say you want to fight corruption.
Yeah.
The journalists have petitioned the OSP who have said in their half-year report they are investigating the matter. That notwithstanding, you ask KMG to do what you consider a technical audit.
Yeah.
KPMG makes findings which are very clinical in respect of the procurement breaches and also value for money. You choose to ignore what they say about the procurement breaches. You don't make reference to what OSP is doing and you go ahead to direct what should be done. We are supposed to take the whole thing
In the round.
And that's like, so are you saying that OSP is useless? You set up OSP, you give them resources, you set them up with all the things they are doing. Why didn't you make a reference to say that, on the matters of procurement breaches, OSP is looking into it, so therefore, you didn't say anything.
That should have been in the
report. OSP has issued a public report that they are investigating the matter. That you still went ahead to call KPMG to do it. For me, you are not being straight to the people of Ghana. And that, you know, and we read between the lines that you can put something there. That's what somebody called it window dressing. And KPMG, you put KPMG in a very difficult position because they think they've done the technical work. Now they are being rubbish because they are like, what is this? How can you say that the thing, there was no basis for the thing, the procurement breaches were done, and yet the thing has given us value, and therefore you ignore what the procurement breaches are? It's a very, you know, and I don't think international audit firms should put themselves in such a position. If you accept to do such a job, you must know the full implications, and you must also insist on specific things. Otherwise, your reputation will be sullied, and you have nothing to do about it.
Yeah.
Did you get, because
but the president has to release the report. To be fair to KPMG, they have to release the report, the full report, or if in appropriate case a redacted, you know,
even
version
that
of
is
the report.
Appropriate. But don't just write a 3-page letter.
Yeah,
no, that's not right. Finish what Manasseh said.
All right, just quickly. So now there's this segment of the letter says the president's problematic comments and actions on the KPMG report. In the president's whitewashing, quote, paper of the scandal. He made many false and deliberately misleading assertions, ostensibly to water down the scandal and misguide those who do not understand it. So, one, the president's claim that SML's downstream petroleum monitoring helped to curb under-reporting and under-declaration is false. Two, in our investigation, we asked SML if it was detecting or curbing under-reporting or under-declaration. The MD of SML, Christian Tetesoti, said on camera that SML was not providing any of those services. This is in our investigative documentary. Three, GRA's head of petroleum told us SML was not checking under-reporting, dilution and diversion of petroleum products as the company claimed on its website. We asked these questions because the MPA had engaged multiple companies and deployed tracking technologies that curb under reporting and under declaration, dilution and diversion and other anomalies. So they are saying SML was not doing any of that. SML deleted the claims of checking under reporting or under declaration from its website after we confronted them. The presidency can therefore not claim that SML is providing a service when both the SML and GRA say the company is providing no such service. It is also false that the 2.4 billion cedis the state got from the downstream petroleum sector over the period of SML's operation is attributed to SML. The integrity of KPMG, a client of the Finance Ministry of the Ghana Revenue Authority, will absolutely or will be seriously called into question if it indeed linked the increment of consumption volumes and the resultant increase in taxes to the operations of SML. Six, the GRA has also admitted that it does not use the volumes recorded by SML at the depots to calculate its taxes. The GRA uses the more accurate readings from meters at the loading gantries. So that's just the two sentences. It goes on to list points 7, 8, 9, and then what Ghanaians should demand. One, the president must ask a matter of urgency, release the report.
Everybody's saying this,
right? And it goes on to provide some context. In 2013, the opposition MPP led by Nana Akufo-Addo and many of his colleagues who are now cabinet ministers harassed the Mahama administration to release the JIDA report after my investigation into the youth employment scandal compelled the government to set up a committee. It says, these tricks may seem brilliant to the communication advisors, but we must not take our eyes off the SML scandal.
Thank you.
Point two, the SML scandal is not over. Dr. Mohammed Amin Adam does not want this scandal to define his tenure as finance minister and possibly ruin his political career. He must do what is in the right interest of Ghanaians and not act to please a greedy few. Three, President John Mahama has indicated that the SML contracts will be completely cancelled if he wins the next election. The flag bearer of the governing MPP, Dr. Baumia, must also tell us his take on the SML scandal. And then four, the KPMG report says Ghana has already paid SML over $1 billion. Ghanaians deserve to know what we got in return for a contract that the president admits breached many laws in Ghana. So far, the only tangible revenue fraudulently linked to SML's operations is the 2.4 billion cedis from taxes on petroleum products we consumed. SML has no role in that. But even if the company services brought us 2.4 billion cedis, did we have to pay it more than $1 billion?
Look at that.
And then five, we must demand a cancellation of the downstream petroleum contract to SML. Then goes on to say point six, the administrative actions taken on the contract should not absolve those who breached multiple laws and signed this shady deal from criminal consequences. Those who broke them must face the law. Otherwise, the impunity will continue and our misery as a people will suffer.
In the interest of complete programming, let's read the SML statement they also issued.
Yes.
Because they've also issued a statement in reaction to the report. We'll end with that.
Bernard, so allegations of impropriety. The KPMG report debunks the false claim of $100 million paid to SML and refutes the 10-year contract claim made by Manasseh Azuri Awuni and the Fourth Estate. However, SML likes to point out that KPMG's findings would suggest that fees estimated to be paid under the 5-year consolidated contract average about 1 billion Ghana cedi per year is false.
Oh, so they disagree with KPMG?
That's what they're saying.
Okay.
The need for SML services affirmed. KPMG confirmed the importance of the upstream and minerals agreements. SML further observes that a comprehensive needs assessment in those sectors was previously conducted, which supports KPMG's findings that revenue assurance audit services are needed in that sector.
So they're saying there was a comprehensive needs assessment?
Yeah.
But KPMG said there's no tech, unless you're using
TV. They are saying KPMG confirmed the importance of the upstream and minerals agreement. SML further observed that a comprehensive needs assessment in those sectors was previously conducted, which supports KPMG's findings. It doesn't state who did that.
KPMG said that no tech needs assessment was done prior to engaging SML, and that it was legally required before engaging SML. And then they also said that if we are going to do the upstream one, we should do a comprehensive assessment.
So their third point says they disagree with the findings that a need assessment was not done before SML commenced operations.
So they should put out the needs assessment.
Yeah. And then the fourth point, award of 2023 consolidated contract.
The approval of the people who contracted them.
You are the one who is hot in public. KPMG said you didn't do any assessment. You say you've done it. So you cannot tell me subject to anything. If you did it, show it to us. That's not complicated. Simple matter. Okay, Kale, continue.
Thank you. There's always due process.
Mr. Chairman, you are doing what so far. Don't complete.
So the award of the performance-driven contract was in full compliance with the Public Procurement Act at 660. As amended, transaction audit and external price verification agreement. SML disagrees with the findings of the transaction audit and external price verification disagreement. They just say they disagree. And then below par
the
delivery.
Point, that's the point around ICUMS and the fact that they're already doing it. Yes. Said it can stop. So they disagree.
Yeah.
So they think what they're doing is different from what those guys were doing.
Correct.
Fair enough.
And then on the issue that they didn't deliver.
They should prove it. They can come and say these guys. The ICUMS guys were doing ABCD. We are doing EFGH using a different methodology. They should put that out. It will help the discussion. You follow me?
Go on the point of partially delivering on several requirements, SML says they reject KPMG's assertion that it partially delivered on several requirements regarding the transaction audit service agreement. Regarding the transaction audit service, SML delivered fully on its obligations as outlined in the contract. SML's productive performance was the basis for subsequent recommendation and awarding of the downstream petroleum audit contract. The transaction audit contract includes provisions for monitoring and evaluation services as well as value for money assessment, both of which were diligently adhered to by the GRA and SML.
We need a contract.
SML observes that KPMG makes similar findings regarding external price verification services. SML rejects KPMG's observation that ICUMS has inbuilt capabilities for external price verification. SML is an independent assurance audit firm contracted to audit ICUMS, access the customs at CTSB, that's Customs Technical Service Bureau, on classification and valuation, and audits the values accordingly. ICUMS cannot audit its operations. SML services provide external oversight when it comes to classification and valuation. 7. SML's performance assessment. SML notes that KPMG confirmed that due to the implementation of the downstream petroleum audit agreement, there were qualitative benefits including a 24/7 electronic real-time monitoring of the outflow and partial monitoring of inflows of petroleum products at depots where SML had installed flow meters. KPMG also confirmed that other important benefits from the SML technology, including a deterrent of under-declaration and several levels of reconciliation and validation, prevented revenue losses to GRA. 8. Realized petroleum volumes and tax revenue. SML disagrees with KPMG's findings regarding the realized petroleum volumes and the tax revenue realized as a result of the compliance tools that led to increased volumes. During the audit, KPMG used MPA's ESLA volumes to evaluate the performance of the downstream petroleum to determine GRA tax revenue. SML strongly contended in writing to KPMG during its audit that NPA's ESLA's volumes are lifting or trading volumes but not GRA taxable volumes. SML further contended that NPA's or ESLA's volumes cannot be used for performance computation.
Okay.
It goes on to say that together with GRA, it submitted to KPMG that the taxable volumes are properly evident in the Bank of Ghana's petroleum tax revenue receipts in its petroleum holding accounts.
Okay.
SML supervision within the sector showed a drastic monthly average increase of 2,007,885,058 to 450,175,163 in taxable volumes for the periods January to December 2019 and May 2020 to April 2021, respectively.
Okay.
This translates to 10,308,532 in excesses gained volumes and excess revenue of more than 14 billion Ghana cedis.
So they think that KPMG underestimated the what some people are even saying was not attributable to them. They say it's 10 billion.
Yeah. So they said this significant increase in monthly average taxable volumes of 450 million liter has been sustained over the past 3 years of SML's employment.
Well,
KPMG's
enough.
Reliance on incorrect data inevitably steers them towards inaccurate conclusions.
KPMG left, right, and center.
Misleading representation of compensation and pricing.
Have they seen the report? Maybe they have given them a copy.
Why would they give them a copy and they don't give us a copy?
Oh, no, because they are
interested parties. Interested parties.
So they will due practice. Or due
but what about the person whose work initiated the whole investigation? I mean, if you have to be fair, the man whose journalistic work
we need to
led
write
you
them.
To led you to do the investigation, he doesn't deserve a copy. But SML deserves a copy. What are we saying?
Go on.
If the government at Fumoto decided to do the investigation, then he can say what they are saying. Somebody has done investigative work at the risk of his life. And on the basis of that, you should KPMG should do a job. And you think that you shouldn't give them a copy?
We should find out why.
We don't need to find out why. Finish the thing.
Bernard, they are saying the compensation and pricing has been misleading. KPMG quotes a figure as compensation to SML. It is interesting to note that this figure is quoted without reference to the investments made and the taxes paid by SML over the period within the consolidated contract. The compensation of 1 billion stated by KPMG is inaccurate. Okay. SML finds that KPMG's failure to state GRA taxes of 31.5% taken before payment, interest payments of 32% plus the investment repayment made by SML and other taxes duties over the period creates a very unbalanced impression of the relationship between the compensation and the investment and other related costs. This omission is highly misleading. Okay. KPMG's report exonerates SML and confirms the need for the company's proven services. That's point 10.
So you refuse some of what KPMG says, but the one that
it's good for you. Take it. Yeah.
But that's how we all do. That's how we all behave. Yeah. So conclude for me.
So despite the misleading information propagated by Manasseh Azore Awene and the Fourth Estate, it is important to note that the independent report from KPMG, while containing some disputed and inaccurate statements, unequivocally confirms the following. There is no 10-year contract. A. B. $100 million was not paid to SML. C. There is no duplication of work with respect to the work of the National Petroleum Authority, NPA. D. The GRA awarded a 2023 consolidated contract to SML following due process. And E. SML has a risk-reward performance-based contract, which SML fully finances without a pessoa of the government's money. So in conclusion, the Ghana we deserve is in our own hands. SML is fully committed to fully committed and confident in its efforts to ethically contribute to building a better Ghana.
We'll leave it here.
Yeah.
Thank you, Caleb, for bringing that. So we brought to you our own analysis of the matter. We've brought to you by Simon's brief comment, Manasseh's response, and also SML's view. But I think the point is that the government must release their report, and they must also make reference to other work that is going on, including the work of the OSP. And they must make a statement on the procurement breaches that KPMG so eloquently put out. We'll leave it for now. Come back with a couple of interviews. Stay with us.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation. The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
It's 30 minutes past 9, and we have friends from the Center for Business Analysis in the studio, Stephen Obing Kwating and Sylvia Dela Momo. So we are here to, they're here, and we're going to talk about the Global Professional Business Analysis Certification. Stephen, you are the course coordinator. Welcome.
Right. Thank you.
And then Sylvia, you are the Business Analysis Consultant, yes. And you are a facilitator at the center.
Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you for
Stephen,
having us.
Stephen, what's the Center for Business Analysis? What's it about?
Well, a very good morning to your listeners. For Center for Business Analysis, CBA, we are known for our business analysis and business data analytics professional certifications. Mm. And these certifications are awarded by the International Institute of Business Analysis, based in Canada. Mm. And in Ghana, CBA is the endorsed education provider for IIBA. For well over 5 years, we have trained more than 3,000 participants. Mm. We have done, for our data analytics, we've done 30 cohorts successfully. In fact, our 31st cohort is coming up 9 days from now. That is on the 4th of May. I understand from our course administrators, we have some few seats remaining, about 8.
Okay.
Yeah, but today we are here to talk about our business analysis certification, which is coming on the 8th of June.
So let me ask Sylvia, if this is for everyone, are there special group of people that business analysis is for?
No, business analysis is for everyone. Mm. I mean, if you're a professional who has been involved in saving costs, you have increased productivity, you have helped in customer retention, you have helped in installing or implementing new systems in your organization. This is by no means an exhaustive list, but any professional who is interested can join in. Mm. Yeah.
So entrepreneurs, employees, employers.
In the current cohort, we have miners, we have accountants. So business analysts work in diverse industries. So I'm a pharmacist, have a healthcare background, but I'm a business analyst. We have banking and finance, we have technology, so diverse backgrounds. Yeah.
Interesting. So what are the different business analysis certifications and who qualifies to enroll, Stephen?
All right, so there are three levels of the certifications. We have the entry level, which is the ECBA. Okay. It has no prerequisites, anyone at all can actually participate in that. Mm. We have the intermediate, which requires a first degree in any discipline.
Okay.
So if you have no work experience or up to 2 years, you can participate in the intermediate. For the advanced level, a first degree or a master's, with more than 2 years working experience, you can participate. And Caleb, you know, times are really hard. And for you to survive, the best investment you could do is to invest in a business analysis certification to actually future-proof your career going forward.
So if I have this certificate on my CV and I go for a job interview, this is going to give me an edge over someone who doesn't?
Definitely.
Do business owners know about business analysis and its impact? Is it a popular thing out there? Or it's now growing.
It's business analysis is a growing field, right? And in this era where there's ever evolving business dynamics and the complexities in organizations and businesses, business analysts are actually driving excellence in this industry because they help manage the complexities that come with technology usage and all other fields of business, all right? So then if you're a business analyst with your certification, you are tipped to know the language of the community,
okay,
right? You have an increase earning potential of about 18% over someone who doesn't have. And it's a field that is growing rapidly. It's projected that between 2020 and 2030, the demand for business analysts is increasing by 12%, which is really high compared to other.
What's the course duration? And before then, what are some of the subjects you're taking and what's the structure?
Okay, so the course duration is altogether 6 months.
6 months, okay.
Yes, and it's weekends only.
Right.
Then there's in-person option. Right. There's an online option. Ooh. So we are the National Banking College, right? Mm-hmm. So if you are doing the in-person, then you come to the National Banking College on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. And on Sundays, we are online for those who want the online option.
Okay.
Right. So for anyone who is interested, there's an info session that's supposed to go on this Saturday.
Okay.
Right? And you are supposed to, Stephen will give you more information about the number. You send a message to us, and then we'll send you the information that you need to get to join the info session.
The last thing I should ask you is cost, because, I mean, if I'm making this decision, it has cost implications. So what's the fee like, and is there any payment structure?
Yes, we have flexible payment options. As I said earlier, we know times are hard, yeah. So we give participants the opportunity to pay on a monthly basis over the 6 month duration. Right, it's a good investment you can make. It's not
put together. Are you able to give me an idea what the damage is going to be to me?
All right, for a complete certification, including the tuition,
yeah,
you should be spending way close to 14,000 Ghana cedis.
Okay.
Right, and it's an investment you'll never regret. Right. We've had people
for a 6 month period,
especially those who are Japan. Right? Yeah, they keep trooping in to get the certification before they leave, because it's very, very expensive.
It's certified. In high demand also.
Yes, yes, outside.
So how does one enroll? How do I join? Besides showing up for the info session, which is happening this weekend.
Yes, it's very simple. You go to our website, centerforanalytics.com.
Mm.
The center is spelled C-E-N-T-R-E.
Right.
You can also send us a hi on WhatsApp, 0246-809-200.
Okay.
And then we will give you the information to the information session happening this Saturday at 5 p.m.
That's quite simple. Yeah. So if you want to be a part of this, you can log on to the website www.centerforanalytics.com or WhatsApp 0246-809-200 and you're good to go. Let me take your final word. If someone is still in doubt, thinking whether or not they should do this, or they have other options and they're wondering if this is what they should take, Sylvia, what would you tell them to help them decide?
Yes, so I'll say that business analysis is not for a particular sect of people, right? In our day-to-day activities in our organizations, where we help increase productivity, where we are at the forefront of ensuring that the organization moves right, you can be a business analyst. You learn this, you have the training that you require to develop the skill set needed to be a business analyst. Mm. And I assure you, one thing about business analysts, you are versatile.
Okay.
You can work in any industry. And that's a good career path to be on. Yeah.
Stephen, finally?
Yeah. Finally, if you want to secure and future-proof your career, you know, people say there are no jobs, but the jobs are there.
Mm.
We need quality people. We need professionals to participate. And people can attest, if you should open the phone lines right now, the training is not just theory,
yeah,
it's practical. It's
Griffith has sent a message to say that you guys are great. He's taking two courses, business, data analytics and business analysis.
Yes, so
he's quite impressed.
Yeah, it's hands-on, okay. So we prepare you ready for the market, right? So I encourage everyone listening to us to call us on our number once again, 0246. 809-200.
Okay, so that was Stephen Obeng Kwating. He is the course coordinator. And then earlier you heard Sylvia Dela Momo. Momo. Yes. All right. So, lady, gentlemen, thank you.
Thank
Sylvia
you for having
is
us.
A business analysis consultant and a facilitator at the center as well. So, lady and gentlemen, thank you for
thank
joining
you.
Us in the studio. So we'll go for a quick break. When we are back, we have more for you.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation. The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
It's 9:42. And I have Dr. Amos Rutherford Azinu in the studio. His background, he has a PhD in plant genetics. And we'll be talking about the Legacy Crop Improvement Center. Doc, good morning and welcome to our studios.
Good morning, Caleb.
What is the Legacy Crop Improvement Center all about?
Okay, so good morning to your cherry listeners. Legacy Crop Improvement Center is a C-business entity based in the Legacy Square in Otari, so when you are going to Kofuria.
Okay.
So basically, we are into seed production, processing, marketing to farmers. We trade in DCs in Ghana, Mali, Burkina Faso, and Togo.
So you are all about seeds?
It's about seed.
What kind of... So is this cereals?
So we are into maize, okay. Hybrid seed production, cowpea, and soybeans, basically. And we also provide other services to smallholder farmers in our jurisdiction, in the Kwapim North municipality. Basically, that's where we are looking.
How different are the seeds you provide? You know, we are in this era where there's a lot of climate change issues. It's not raining. People are looking for seeds that are resistant and all of that. So what's different with the seeds that we buy from Legacy Crop Improvement Center?
Okay, so at Legacy, we have a smart variety, climate smart variety that we set to. One is Legacy 26. By 85 days, that variety is actually dry up. They are harvesting. In ordinary farmers plant variety, that's over 100 days. And now, as we alluded to, those two climate variability, the rainfall patterns are very erratic. So this variety we are talking about is very short duration. It means that by 85 days you are done. So if the water stop on the way or the rainfall stop on the way, you get it. Addition to that, it has a high nitrogen use efficiency. You know that one of the inputs that we use in farming is a fertilizer. Mm-hmm. These days, fertilizer, the cost of fertilizers are very expensive. So you don't want a case where you buy fertilizer very expensive and give to the plant and it's less utilized by that plant. So even if you don't give much, whatever you provide to this Lega 26 variety, it actually comes in.
So it's resistant?
Not necessarily, but the efficient use of the amount of fertilizer you are providing. And in case of that, you know, normally farmers have to use about 10 kilos per acre in terms of that. But if you plant Lega 26, it means that we are using 8 kilos. That means the farmer is saving a cost of two kilos. So if that cost is, let's say, 50 CDs, and you are planting 100 acres, you can imagine the cost of that.
Mm.
Addition to that, you know, maize is basically made of carbohydrate in terms of nutritional content of it. Mm-hmm. Now we have this maize Lega 26 is provitamin A in it. There's a vitamin in this maize. So it means that when you go to the rural house where they heavily depend on cereal products like maize and they don't have the financial muscle to balance their diet, once they consume this particular product, they have less risk of malnutrition in those
houses. How affordable are you? How competitive is your cost?
Okay, so these are locally produced seeds or not imported. So it's naturally the dollar doesn't have effect on it, you know. So for the 4 years now, the cost of our seed for this on the Legacy 26 I'm talking about is 35 cedis a kilo. It means that the farmer needs, last time we did a market analysis, you need a 280 cedis to plant an acre. Compared to that other variety, you need over 500 cedis. So you see how it is. And in addition to that, the farmer doesn't need to come to Legacy Square in Otari to buy. We do nationwide delivery. We deliver the seed to your doorstep where you want it.
So who are some of your farmers?
So we trade with everyone, the smallholder farmers, the large scale farmers, the food aggregators, you know, the aggregators who actually support farmers to grow grain for them. We sell to everybody in Ghana, Mali, Burkina Faso, and Togo.
So this for the 2024 planting season, what do you have for us?
Okay, so we have a very nice variety, a high yielding variety, Lega 26, which is yellow corn, and it's provitamin A and climate smart variety. What I mean is it has a short duration in terms of the rainfall pattern, so that doesn't affect. No, not every farmer in this country has irrigation in their food, so they all depend on the rainfall. So when they are growing this variety, they are sure of getting something at the end of the day. Even the rainfall patterns are very erratic. Aside that, its nitrogen use efficiencies, as I said, they are very, very, very high.
Where can we find you so that we can get some of your Legacy?
Okay, club? So our office is located in Legacy Square in Otari, so where we are going to Kofuria in the Kwapim North municipality. You can reach us on 0257 431809. Let me repeat that number, 0257 431809. And you can even write an email to us at info@legacycrop.com. or visit our website, legacycrop.com. You can reach out.
Nice. Let's take your very final comment before you let go of us.
You see, we mostly talk about the food import bill of this country, mm-hmm. but if you look at the nature of our land and water that we have in available, it means that we have to do a lot to produce food for ourselves and feed ourselves and feed our friends in the Sahel. So if you look at us very well, it means that we are not utilizing the resources that God has given to us. And one of the things that we have not invested in agriculture, one of the investments that we are doing is the seed availability to the farmers. And so seed is very important in achieving food security. Mm-hmm. So I'm just encouraging every farmer who want to farm, means that you have to make sure you get a good seed to plant in order to have a good harvest.
I like that. But Doc, tell me about your interest in seeds and the improving their quality. At what point did you decide that this is something that interests you want to take a look at?
Also, I come from a farming community in Angola, in the Volta region. Okay. We usually farm. When I get to the university, I study Agric NSS, and I came to the university to study Agric, and I realized that there are issues with the food shortage and other things. So I just decided to see how best we can solve this problem, mm-hmm. by make sure food is available. And one of the things I found out is unavailability of seed, a good seed for farmers to plant. So it's the reason why after graduate school, I just started to set up Legacy Crop Improvement Center that will deliver good quality seed to farmers in timely manner.
I see. Okay. So then, thank you for joining us. Repeat your number again so that those who missed it can have it.
Okay, so as I said earlier, you can locate us at Legacy Square in Otariso. If you can reach us on 0257-431809.
Mm. Yes. Dr. Amos Rutherford Azinu, thank you so much for joining us in the studio this morning.
To the top of the hour, City Breakfast Show. A couple of quick announcements to make, and then we will review quickly Professor Jenan Opokwajeman. There will be more on this tomorrow on the City Breakfast Show, by the way. But let's deal quickly with Omni Basic. We have exciting news for you. You can get your Omni Basic Visa Classic debit card instantly at any of our branches nationwide. It's instant with new and improved features, contactless and verified by Visa. So why wait? Visit any of our branches nationwide and get your Omni Basic Visa Classic debit card today. It's instant, secure and convenient. Omni Basic Bank at your service.
It's always a good time with Ghana's favorite malt Guinness. More tasty goodness for you in a new Jeje can. It's the same authentic refreshment and rich with immune boosting B vitamins. Grab an ice cold malt Guinness in our new Jeje can and enjoy a world of good. Always check for the Made in Ghana logo. And if you're dreaming of the perfect sofa to upgrade this year, your dream sofa now is a reality latex foam. We are introducing a sensational V-Sofa range where comfort meets style at prices that will make your heart skip a beat. From the sleek L-shaped V-Sofa at just 3,100 to the complete V-Sofa set for an unbeatable 6,500, you have the opportunity to elevate your living space with latex foam, your forever partner in comfort and luxury. Hurry, your perfect sofa awaits. Latex foam, your partner for life. My life.
Now, Diamond Cement is the highest quality cement on the Ghanaian market. And since the year 2000, they've made homeowners, block makers, and people in the construction space very, very happy. These days, they have the affordable 32.5-hour grade, which means that's a good deal for everybody. You deserve the very best. Make Diamond Cement your number one choice for all your building needs. Call Diamond Cement on 0244-313368 or 0540-111978 or 0202-021175. Diamond Cement. Men still hard as a diamond.
And if you're a young Ghanaian seeking stable, fulfilling employment, look no further than the Ghana Grows program. Ghana Grows ignites hope and guides you towards career opportunities in agriculture, agribusiness, technical and vocational skills. Whether you're 15 or 35, male or female, this program equips you to thrive. So join us and contribute to Ghana's growth through careers in agriculture and ATVET. Embrace agric and ATVET careers with Ghana Grows, an initiative of Master Card Foundation in partnership with Springboard Roadshow Foundation and Limehouse. For more information, call 0308-255-775.
President Mahama, please allow me to address you directly. As I stated in my brief acceptance note on March 7th, 2024, by renominating me, you have demonstrated your remarkable consistency and unwavering commitment to inclusivity and innovation. I have heard you share with me, no, with the public, as you have done tonight, your rationale for choosing me again. I find this very, very touching. Thank you very much. As the Gonjas express it, with meaning, Ansan Kushun. I see your choice as an affirmation of your belief in the capabilities of the Ghanaian woman. I will repay your abiding confidence with loyalty, with understanding, and a devotion to duty. My output going forward, by the grace of God, will continue to demonstrate what the world knows already, that women are also capable of high achievements, that we do so with that reservoir of strength, determination, and mental acuity that only those who are noble and far-sighted like you can comprehend and contend with. I will share in our collective successes and share responsibility for our setbacks, if any. And at the time of reckoning, Your Excellency John Dramani Mahama, I will not, in the advancement of self-serving ambition, declare to the whole world that I was only the driver's mate. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, before I go on to other important matters, please let me state my understanding of where we are as a country, as a nation, and the implications of what lay ahead. The election ahead is not so much about Ghana making history, although that is important. It is not so much about returning a competent president back to power. It is not even about producing the first woman vice president, historical and exciting though these are. It is not only about bringing the NDC back to power, although that is indispensable in our current circumstances. The elections ahead and winning them is about winning elections for a purpose. The purpose goes beyond those enumerated above. The purpose is the opportunity to heal our country again. It is about the opportunity to pull Ghana back from the precipice of destruction, of normalizing corruption, of incomprehensive greed, from deep despair. The election ahead and winning it for our party is about hard work and abiding sacrifice. It is to embrace everyone in building a Ghana that functions again. It is to work towards a Ghana where citizens have confidence and hope and are determined to regain their independence of thought and of agenda. We must work towards a Ghana that at the very least can feed itself. We know we can. We must work towards a Ghana where the law truly works, where there is shared prosperity, where democracy has not become a fluke, where people are not abused, and where the basic necessities of life are not denied the majority.
Professor Jinan Opokwajima, Nathan, I don't know if you watched the speech yesterday.
I caught bits of it. I read the text. I listened. Yeah. I, you know, caught snippets.
I think the event compared to last year, you know, when she was first, 2020. I was at that event and then I followed this one. The events were at the same venue, very, very different. This was much, much better organized.
Yes.
This was well coordinated.
Yes.
The story was told in a very proper way. In terms of like even the documentaries they showed and the way. Okay. And the second thing I noticed was the time allotted to her. She spoke for 50 minutes. If you compare that to the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tell that this they've learnt from the 2021. And I think it was an impressive.
It was wonderful. I like what you said, they coordinated it so well that the spotlight was on her because it was her function. It was to highlight the fact that she had been chosen to be the running mate. So it was important that they projected her well.
Yeah.
And I think even on her own performance, because others did their part. And I thought she delivered in terms of just standing out and being a bit more sturdy, a bit more solid than 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You could tell that now she understands what it takes because you are answering different questions. There's a political question to answer. There's a public speaking question to answer.
Yeah.
There's the image. And I think that she ticked the right boxes in terms of how she delivered even the kind of image she leaves in the minds of people post that event.
As an outdooring event, I think it was an impressive event, but I'm sure the next few days will now show whether her mettle in campaigning has also improved as compared to 4 years. To be a running mate is not really the main job is the candidate, but the running mate must complement, and so I can now see why people are clamoring for even a woman, for even MPP. Because it sort of addresses a different kind of audience. Okay, so, I mean, if you look at today's headlines, some of the people are talking about...
The Chronicle.
The Chronicle, for example.
When they say, bring a woman, you may not see why, but, you know, they were talking about Mami Odende, market women. The vibe a woman gives is not the same as a man. So you can see, it's almost like in the first few years of our democracy, we had South-South tickets, and then we had a North-South ticket, which has become the norm. I get a sense that even if Bawumia doesn't choose a woman now, eventually the leading parties will start doing male-female
combinations
going forward because there's a different vibe to the woman than a man.
Mm.
You get it? The kind of things about what women can do and that kind of thing is different. So I think it's going to be an interesting next few weeks.
I think, you see, the political parties can lead the way by making it sort of a rule. You know, not written rule necessarily, that any time the presidential candidate is a man, the running mate should be a woman.
Yeah.
Or when the presidential candidate is a woman, the running mate should be a man. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because we have the Affirmation Action Bill. Yeah. It's there. We are not making progress on it.
It will point to a lot of... Even though it may be symbolic, symbolism is also important because the women in parliament are not that many.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I get your point. The parties can make it a convention.
Yeah, that's right.
But what do you think the Bawumia camp would be thinking right now? Because I'm sure you'd have watched it and seen how people warmed up to her and how different it was. Because imagine if it was another man.
Yeah, you would have.
Because Mahama is the star of the NDC. Yeah, so if you bring another man, there's nothing he's going to do that Mahama cannot do.
Mm.
But if you bring a woman, there's a different feel. Mm-hmm. And then people say, hey, Should we go and take a woman now? because Baumia will come and show what he has to show.
Yeah.
If you're going to bring another man,
Well, I mean,
unless when, the man is different.
Yeah, when you speak to people different. Close to them, I mean, a number of women are being considered strongly. I mean, you have the.
But we've seen only two names.
Yeah, the District Assembly's Common Fund administrator, Nat Oshi, and then the Chief of Staff, Frema, is being considered. There's some names like Besla Usu also mentioned in there.
Yeah.
As to what exactly the candidate will do is an entirely different matter.
But do you think this will influence? Because I'm sure they watched it.
Yeah, but you see,
they would have watched it and they would have seen her improvement, and she sounded very confident, and she looked the part. 4 years ago, it was a bit different.
What you also need to recognize is also the fact that the MPP is in uncharted waters.
Yeah.
He's never used a Muslim from the north before. In fact, Ghana has never used a Muslim from the
leading
candidate. As a leading candidate in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And if you add a woman to the ticket,
it's like two new things.
Uh-huh. So
I'm thinking it may be different.
Exactly. And then also you need to look at, okay, Ashanti region is huge.
Are you juggling so many things at the same time?
So it's not that easy.
Well, we'll talk more about this in subsequent programming. By the way, on the Situation Room today, we will be interviewing Professor Atukwesin on the speech delivered by General Opokwa Jiman. So he's going to analyze the speech. So we'll see how that goes.
Yes.
Should we push more women into politics?
Yes, please.
Okay.
We love it.
You are named after a very strong woman in politics. How are
Yakubu? I get that.
And you are Howa Idrisu.
Yes, please.
So you have to get your act together.
Thank you.